Are, yeah, you, are you guys unhappy?
So Lafayette, okay, shut the up.
Because I'm not scared of you, white boy.
He is just plowing this animal.
I love you, but I didn't realize that battles that you were in had their own Wikipedia pages.
Oh, dude, we're like this. We're like,
I think our accents
are off your shirt.
Y'all, the shows are almost sold out. Thank you all so much. It's an amazing experience. If you haven't got a ticket yet, go in the links below. Come check us out. We are looking forward to this. And a surprise announcement of the guests. Angry Cops, Chris and Wes, The Magicians, Caleb Francis, and one to be determined. Go check out the tickets below. Also, launching a brand new business, 8xconnect.com. Go check it out. We are stress testing the site right now. See if you like anything there. Unlocking local advertising through the peer-to-peer model. Through 8xconnect.com, you can make money on a local level. Been working on this business for a year, so go check it out. Truly appreciate y'all. That's 8xconnect.com. G-Man links!
That was good.
I just got to get that test one in. La 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 la!
La 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 la!
What do we have to crack open? We got to get a claw to crack, too.
Bush lights.
Shall we grab that whole box of... Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, show.
Fuck, we had to White Claw, too.
Yeah, you guys got to do White Claw. You do double for me. I walk a different path. It's all right.
Oh, you're straight edge?
Fuck yeah. Nah, it's just much more, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have self-control, brain injuries. You know what I'm saying. You get it.
What's a brain injury?
Something that makes you interesting.
TB something?
TB.
I don't believe in TBIs.
Oh, there's a shirt.
I don't believe in TBIs. Damn, that's good.
Yeah, that part is like...
That's a real...
Please don't talk to me. I have a TBI would be a good one.
It's like this podcast is Tibbs and Tism.
Yeah.
Tibbs and Tisms.
TBIs and Tisms.
Stacking them.
I didn't graduate from high school. I got a GED.
Did you?
No.
Oh. I'm the only one that has the good enough diploma.
You got a GED?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm the only...
If I could go back knowing what I know now, I would totally get a GED at 16. Move on with my life.
Bro, we had people in the Navy that didn't even get a fucking... The GED.
They don't need that anymore. They just made a rule. You don't need a GED. You don't need a diploma. You can sign up in the U.S. Navy. Enlist today.
Look, all I'm saying, every time there's major global conflict, there's an economic depression before it. So whenever the stock market crashes, just go sign yourself up for the draft because they're coming for you.
God, I didn't know that. They're just like, passed. You can just... Man, that means recruit numbers are on an all-time high when
They're preparing for something.
What was the reason thing? They're starting to show white guys in Army commercials now. So it's like, oh, God.
That's one of... Yeah.
Something's happening.
Yeah. Oil's back on the menu, boys. Yeah. Yeah, this is going to go great.
Welcome to the Unsubscribed Podcast. I'm joined today by Eli Double Tap, Nick Fat Electrician, veteran with a sign, Zach.
And our boy...
Donut
operator.
My boy, how y'all doing? Hi, welcome, Mr. Zach. You're finally on the fucking show.
I did it.
Where's your sign at? Yeah, where's your sign?
I don't have a sign, but it worries me.
You have one job.
Fuck this.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm fucking gone.
It's all right. Gone. It's all right. It's all right.
I wanted 2 hours of you writing your answers.
Yeah. Me being like,
he has a whiteboard. He's like,
come on, Eli. This isn't funny anymore.
I don't care.
Did you see that podcast?
Which one?
With Dana White, where he walked out on Howie. He's like, I'm so fucking tired of podcasts.
Yeah,
he's
just done. Hell yes. Was that staged?
I don't know.
I don't know, but my buddy Ginger Billy was the other guy in the room. He's like,
oh, that was Ginger Billy?
Yeah, that was Ginger Billy.
Yeah, because he didn't know what to say. He said
he'd come on here.
I'd love to have him on. No, he's awesome.
Yeah, Dana White would be awesome. Oh, Ginger Billy. Yeah, he's fine.
Both. I'm joking. Do both. Do both.
I don't think he does podcasts anymore, to be honest with you.
He could walk off on ours. I'd be fine with that.
I know, we'd be like,
woo! Bring in the cutout. We just put a Dana cut out there. We're fine.
It's the only 5-minute podcast we've ever had.
It's a short. We just upload it as a reel and that's it. We never explain the backstory. It's like, well, shit.
Zach, welcome. How you doing? How you been? You've been wanting to come on the old podcast.
Yeah.
And we're glad to have you. We had a good time. Now we're doing fucking just boy stuff this week.
Just dudes being bros. Drinking.
Real quick. We skipped out on the bill. I talked to him. I thought you went inside to pay. And so I was like, all right. So when we got up and walked away, no one paid the bill. And they were texted. They texted Brandon. They don't know my number. They texted Brandon. Brandon texted me and went, "Oopsie," because none of us paid. None of us paid the bill.
Whoops.
Oh, were they like, "Can you? What do we do? Just send them?"
No, I went back and paid it. We drove back by, but
yeah, we hit it on the way back.
Yeah. But we totally walked out on that because they texted Brandon and was like, "So are they just skipping out on the bill today?"
It's the beginning of the villain era. It's the villain era, the unsubscribe.
We're in our villain arc.
Yeah.
Side note, I don't know if we were going to say that. We won't say the name because we want that place to continue to be good.
Yeah, don't do that.
But you need a loyalty card, and like after 10 times, we get a free meal because we spend a good chunk of change.
So we get a free meal every 10 days?
Yeah, exactly.
They wouldn't be able to sustain it.
They make their money off of us.
Yeah.
Like
it's just like when we go to, it's like the owner brought Heather a nice bottle of mezcal. And it was like, "Oh, if we spend $50,000 here, we get a bottle of mezcal." Hell yeah, dude.
It's shit like that where I wish it was like we could pull up a real life, like the Skyrim stats sheets to see all the different shit you've done. Like, how much time have we spent at brunch?
Oh, God.
How many drinks have we had?
It's
how
magical.
Much money and booze? Like, that's what I want to know.
No, then we're going to have no hosts because everyone ended their own.
We see how much time we wasted and money. We're like,
medical professionals call this a problem.
Oh, speaking of veteran sewer slides.
Sewer slides. We had a fantastic time with Brandon getting...
Where is he? Is he not like... There's a lot of veterans here and not a lot of Brandon. I didn't want to be the guy to bring it up, but...
Yeah.
Seems like he's not a big fan of veterans these days.
Oh, Jesus.
It's weird that all the veterans are here and Brandon's not here. I don't want to be that guy.
Break out the sign. Where's Brandon?
Where's Brandon? Hang on.
The new Waldo book's going to be wet.
It's just a "Where's Brandon" sign.
It's weird.
Actually, G-Van, that's the thumbnail. Just cut that out.
Yeah, just...
get that.
Put it, I'm just saying it's kind of weird, right? Loves veterans so not that much, you know?
And then we'll use that as the cutout. That's perfect.
Some would say he doesn't love 4 veterans. I'm not a mathologist, but...
Dude, he got... Again, I don't know if we talked about this last time, but it is the idea of just... Oh, yeah, we did talk about it on the last time, but it is so stupid for that battle he chose. And now, I mean, there's so many Twitter sphere. I know you wanted to talk to Cody about.
Oh, God. Oh, Cody being fucking hilarious on Twitter.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude.
I want to talk about it. This made my week this week. Just watching.
Cody is, you're the boys and you're not Butcher. You're.
So Cody's ranked. What's your number for most influential person on Twitter?
11th in the
world. Sorry, X, formerly known as Twitter, the 11th most influential person ever. And
hell yeah.
Somebody posted an article trying to slander Brandon.
Oh, shit. Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Like 18 hours in.
Refreshing. So
what did he even say about Brandon?
He just brought up the whole thing where it's like he's celebrating, or not celebrating, but, you know, he's making fun of veteran suicide.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite because
of what happened. Yeah. He took a 7-second soundbite out of a 3-hour podcast and, like, I don't know, tried to slander Brandon with it. And Cody, I click on it. First top reply, a billion times more likes, just completely ratioed. And it's just, "Hey, is this you?" And it is a chat of this dude talking to a 16-year-old child about being
a 15 or 16.
It was grooming. Like, he was a groomer. Grooming this kid.
Holy.
He was 15, 16.
Fuck.
And then every comment underneath Donut is just gifts of fucking wood chippers and basically threats. And I don't know. It was just really funny to see somebody be like, "I'm going to talk shit on the internet." And like, "Oh no, now half the United States wants me to not exist." And then his account was privated. And then 3 hours later, it was deleted.
Yeah, that man deleted his whole account.
His whole account. And that was a Congress or running for Congress? What's that dude
do? He was running for some kind of Congress. I don't remember. Where,
it was just like a county seat or some shit. But like, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I don't know. We look out for our boys.
Yeah, maybe don't get on the internet and talk shit if you're, I don't know, been established and known for grooming children.
And
it might come back to bite you.
All the bros that you're going to try to pick on or start shit with, this group is not the one you look at and be like, "Pussies."
Yeah.
Like, I would never look at any of you guys and be like,
this is the battle I'm going to pick. Yeah. Go through their Twitter history. Go through how they look. I'm like, well, they could me.
This could only go well.
They can just hold me down and do what they want.
We're definitely not like, it's going to be okay. They won't have a crazy response or overreact to it. We're going to overreact.
Yeah. Like just, a Homelander comes in.
Yeah.
Tony's just beaming the eyes. Again, he's like,
Ashley, look at me. Yeah. This is Cody tweeting.
You know what it was? It was the scene from fucking Austin Powers in Goldmember when the fucking anonymous henchman comes up to Austin Powers' dad and you're the dad. And just, what are you doing? Look at you. You have a name tag. Just go lay down. And dude deletes his Twitter account. Just erases himself from the internet for you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, one thing I did want to talk about. Did we talk the acorn?
Fuck. I don't think we talked about it.
No.
Bro. Out of there's like the acorn. The Cody, fill in on the acorn situation.
God damn. It was a DV, not even a violent DV. Domestic violence. Cop put the guy in the back of the cop car. He was walking back to the cop car to get a form. An acorn fell on the cop car, and he took that as suppressed fire from somewhere and did two combat rolls and mag dumped into the back of the cop car where the guy was sitting. And so the female sergeant on scene saw him mag dumping into the back of the cop car, and he started screaming, I'm hit. They're in there. And so she starts shooting the cop car.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn, you got to set my channel back like fucking 6 years.
And the poor black guy inside is like, just screaming as robots are like slow motion, just blasting next to him. And afterwards, he's like,
dude, he was completely okay, wasn't he?
He was completely okay.
Yeah.
He was awesome. That's the best case scenario.
Yeah, he's never going to have to work again.
I hope not. He's paid.
His PTSD. He has more PTSD than me.
Holy shit.
Dude, he had to have like buried himself like down, you know, underneath the seat.
Yeah, just wedged himself all the way down on the floorboards.
Yeah.
Unless he was cut. Like, he's just like.
Because he's sitting there. Because they already searched him too, so he didn't have any weapons on him.
That's what killed me the most. I was like, "You put he's Hank
behind his back, and it's
well,
yeah."
And then everyone was like, "Well, PTSD." I remember I replied. I was like, "Bro, PTSD doesn't make me do two combat roles." Getting shot at. I've never done two combat roles ever. You know why? Because they don't teach you to do combat roles when you're getting fucking shot at. Ever. And then someone replied, and like the Marines teach during for hand-to-hand combat. You know,
Marine Corps martial arts.
Hey, yeah, it's real, dude. What are you saying, man? It's totally real.
No, that's real. I'm just saying, you know.
No, it's not real.
He's got a purple heart. He's not about to spam the combat roll button.
I've never seen anyone do it. If I saw them do it, I'd be worried if they started like combat rolling, especially if you're a National Guardsman that never deployed, which I think is what he was. Isn't that what he was? He'd never seen combat and he screamed medic. Like
He said, I'm hit.
He did all the things that like you wouldn't do.
His legs gave out and he thought he got hit in the leg or something. That's not how it works. Like, I'm hit.
Bro, that adrenaline dump for him, that was his fucking 9/11, was that 3 seconds of not combat. And now his life, I guarantee, after that went viral, he just turned his phone off. He's like, sweetie.
We have to move.
We have to move.
We're starting
we
have over. To leave the country.
We're starting over.
Yeah, Canada's beautiful right now. Ecuador.
What do you think about Belize?
Just anywhere away from what the fuck we're doing.
Well, I see all of us like this room combined has the most PTSD in the world.
Yep.
And you're walking up to your car and an acorn falls on it. Like you'd be like, oh, okay.
can I say something that's right up there with fireworks for me? Like, remember the people that made millions of dollars off the fireworks signs? They're from Texas.
I actually one of my first internet videos was making fun of that shit.
What'd the sign say?
It says something to the effect of, "Please be aware that a combat veteran lives here. These fireworks can be triggering to the veteran," which. I don't know.
Apparently the veteran's a chihuahua.
Yeah.
They're not like thunderstorms or 4th of July.
I mean, I've never confused a sparkler with an RPG, but that's just me. And like this guy and his wife had this huge con. They never gave it away to anyone. Like, oh, what was that? Was that a Roman candle or incoming? No, it's a fucking Roman candle. It's not that complicated. And they got like $4 million and they gave it to veterans, which I don't even think they were veterans. They just kept all of it. But yeah.
Like, we did our part.
Yeah, we helped.
I feel bad for you guys because I only did 21 push-ups today.
It's okay.
We noticed.
We're going to end the podcast that way.
We noticed.
Blame Cody. After these messages, we'll be right.
The congressional candidate's best friend makes a joke about...
Oh, my God. Well, Mr. Zach, it's fucking fantastic. Yeah. I know you... What? Well, you're a Marine, for people that don't know. Yes. Mr. Marine.
He's a Marine. First of fight.
And yes. Then you had a big push into...
the war?
Yes. But where in Afghan? Where's the huge...
I can talk about it. Yeah, so I had two combat deployments to Afghanistan. One was in a town called Garmzer in March of 2008. And it was we were like the first Marine Corps unit that had been there in a while. It was kind of cool. It was whatever... but the big one is I inserted into a town called Marja. It was a Taliban stronghold, yeah, in 2009 to, like, July 2010.
You were the closest to – when did you get in 2007?
2007, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's been the closest other than, like, Tyler and those guys. Everyone else is like, I got in 2016. I'm like –
No.
Fuck, man.
Yeah,
I'm
you're old as fuck.
Old as fuck.
Yeah, you're so old. It throws me off.
I got in with M82. I got in with Woodland.
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. I was issued Woodland. Everyone thinks
you got issued
cool.
Woodlands? They're like, we don't know where we're going.
Bro, he was issued an M1 Grand. Pretty sure.
Well, it was fucking, I didn't.
Talking about trench warfare and boot camp and shit.
Woodland's now the cool gear, and I fucking, everyone despise
it. It's so retro. Fuck you, yeah.
Dude, Woodland slaps. I fucking hated that shit. We were so happy with AC, and now we hate it.
Did you have black boots?
They're definitely not.
You used to dress your boots?
Okay.
The black boots. I had to iron my clothes.
The black boots thing sucks, but the camo itself.
The camo fucked, yeah.
Forever better than ACU.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
What was the worst?
Who sold that contract? They're like, we're gonna make soldiers.
Oh,
you know,
I found it.
Like,
$1 billion.
I did that in my. I did a video on it.
It's great. I don't want to be that guy. The Middle East isn't great.
We did a $1 billion study on different urban camouflages that would be the best.
Hell
and
yeah.
Then they just came out of left field, and they're like, we want this one. And ACU Digicam wasn't even in the study for like 5 years. They decided on the multicam pattern from this $1 billion study.
Okay.
And then they just came out of left field and they're like, nah, we're going with this one. It looks futuristic.
Yeah.
With no fucking background whatsoever.
Right. That's like the worst camo pattern of all time is the Navy Blues.
First off, have you ever watched them?
Oh, yeah.
The Navy Blues.
Because if there was ever a time that you wanted to be camouflaged, it was when it was like a man overboard
situation.
Yeah, like
you fall in the fucking water.
James, no! James is gone.
The fuck is he?
James is gone.
Cody belongs to the sea now.
Bro, that fucking Navy, that Dude. Camo pattern was so bad.
Is it true? Somebody told me if you fell in the water, it would turn orange.
No, that's not fucking true.
Yeah. I just want to know how they
tried to tell
us.
They tried to tell you. That's the same shit as like if you pee in the pool, the cloud of color is going to follow you around. No,
it would be hilarious because the fucking Navy
Otherwise,
SEAL.
You wouldn't be able to wash the clothes if Dude, that was the case.
I know. It's just what I was told. I was like, how does that fucking work?
Well, they told us that. We literally took our new uniforms and went down to the ocean, dumped it in the water.
You know,
it
was like, you're a Marine because you just asked if that was true.
Well, it was, I mean, it was like a thing, and I saw them, and I was like, surely the Navy didn't make digital blue camouflage for the fucking ocean.
Just imagine Navy SEALs going on a mission and they're sweating, and they're like, whoa. Yeah. Shit.
It's like they're out on for beer.
Holy shit. Shit.
They're all orange all of a sudden.
I do.
Yay.
I do like the new green outfits, though.
Good.
The new, like, lime acid green color that they have, I actually really like.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
You talking about the Army uniforms?
No, the Navy.
The
Navy
green
uniform? Yeah. Oh, they look
Navy's going green again?
Still, we've discussed this one time, but Tiger Stripe's still my favorite. Like,
that's your favorite of all time?
Tiger. I fucking fuck with Tiger
Stripe. I just saw, I got a chocolate chip hoodie from Americana Pipe Dream.
Chalky chip is so nice.
It reminds, I remember seeing it on the TV for the first time. We were kicking ass in Iraq, dude. And I was like, fuck yeah, chocolate chip. It's such a good hoodie, too.
My buddy has DC. I was like in with DCUs. If you were overseas and you'd be back into BDUs when you got back stateside.
Oh, that's the Marine Corps one, dude.
That's kind of fun.
No,
that's the Marine Corps digital pattern. They gave that to the Navy guys when I was in.
Oh, yeah, that's the
Yeah,
that's the original.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I was there, bro.
He was there, man.
I was there.
Fucking.
But, I don't know. I like multicam the best, I'm gonna be
multicam's
honest.
Multicam's the best.
Is that M81? Is that the...
That's multicam.
That's multicam. Okay,
that's multicam. That's like branded actual multicam.
Okay. Now, multicam Tropic, I fuck with.
That's multicam Tropic's fucking hot as fuck.
That's the M82 color, like the woodland, but...
it's got it's a brighter green to it, almost like lime. It really does fuck.
I like black multicam also. I know Grand Thumb hates it and makes fun of me for it, but I love it.
Well, hats up on Bunker.
Yeah. These
new
hats.
New unsub hats.
I mean, fair. I mean, only fucking losers wear multicam hats. It's not like I've worn that in every video I've ever filmed ever, but you know, it's fine.
always fair wearing it. Yeah, we'll hold it up.
But no, because I was National Guard, so we had ACUs the whole time, and like multicam came out like 6 months after I got in, and I was like, those are fucking dope. And I spent the next 6 years being like, I want my unit to get the new uniform. I want my unit. We got it like 3 months before I got out.
Fucking bastards.
I got to wear it like once. I was pissed.
We got our ACUs ACUs in 2000. Six or seven? What the fuck was that? Oh, God. You scared
me.
Oh, my God. I thought that was a hard
drive. Acorns!
I just thought it was...
Whoa. 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 Was that a Roman candle? Whoa.
We start combat rolling around the table. all of us in a circle.
I'm hit.
Duck, goose.
You start giving tourniquets to yourself. Fuck it. We're going to make it. You're going to make it.
I'm here. Show's like, wow, they're gay.
Blimey, they're gay.
Do you know what that is? That is the sound of the heavens opening up when I use my tushy bidet. Now, ever since I went to Japan, I always thought, man, how I miss bidets everywhere. Why aren't they a thing here? Well, now they are, thanks to Tushy. 3 million people love Tushy. That's not even most of America. We need to change that. Now, how do we make that change? By getting 10% off your Tushy with code UNSUB. HelloTushy.com/UNSUB. Hello Tushy wants you to remember one thing.
The time you're spending scrolling your phone isn't giving you peace of mind.
It's giving you hemorrhoids. And do you know what the leading cause of hemorrhoids is?
Prolonged sitting and wiping with toilet paper.
But the Tushy bidet, it cleans your nice booty hole. Now my favorite part of Tushy, it takes me back to Japan. Gominasai! Now, when I have the options between using toilet paper and a bidet, I'm picking Tushy every time. Tushy bidet also attaches to your existing toilet under 10 minutes.
Stop wiping until you bleed.
Join the 3 million butts that have already made the switch to Tushy.
For a limited time.
Our listeners get 10% off your entire order when you use code UNSUB. That's 10% off your order at HelloTushy.com with promo code UNSUB.
I want to know, what is it like coming from Ireland and then being friends with us?
I literally just asked her that. I asked her that. I was like, when you grew up a wee lass overseas, were you like, one day I'll move to the Americas and I'll hang out with a bunch of creators?
Morons in Texas.
They'll have their channels. They'll talk about the war.
Yeah. They totally won't talk about...
Imagine... I'm sorry. I don't want to shut on Ireland, but like, imagine living in a country where you're not allowed to own a pocket knife. And then moving and being friends with fucking Brandon Herrera.
Yeah.
I can't imagine a more drastic change.
Wait, you can't own a pocket knife?
No.
It's for your safety.
You can't own pocket knives in Ireland or Britain or... Have I not shown you the zombie knife shit?
That's what they call anything that's like over like 4 or 5
so
inches.
So in America, we have ghost guns that... People are freaking out about. In England, you can pull up news where they're like talking about zombie knives, and it's just like shitty gas station knives that look scary where people are getting stabbed, and they're talking about them the same way America talks about ghost guns. Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's literal machetes. Idris Elba has like a full campaign against it. He's like, we don't like zombie knives.
He did a song.
Yeah. He has a whole song.
A whole song about zombie knives.
Like, zombie knives are bad. It's we hilarious. Aren't glad. Zombie knives are bad. Whatever. I don't know what it is.
The whitest rap I've ever heard. It sounds about right, though.
I mean, I don't know.
It's like a legal loophole, too, with the zombie thing.
Yeah, so the zombie knife loophole in England is the way that they define it's just like American gun laws where people are just fucking stupid and don't understand what they're talking about. But the rule with the zombie knives in the UK is it's only a zombie knife if it has writing on the blade. What? So, like, if it has any branding on the blade where it says, like, Zombie Hunter 5000, you know, all that dumb shit that gas station knives say, it's a zombie knife and it's illegal. But if it doesn't say that, it's completely fucking legal. So people are just ordering shit off Amazon and having it delivered, and the UK government's trying to shut it down. It's fucking wild.
They probably all say that then. They probably all have branding on them, don't they?
No, they don't. Because if you have branding, it's illegal. If they don't have branding, it is legal.
That is literally, it's gun laws. It's like,
I want you to do a video on all the UK police that have you? I know you.
Oh, you've I'm had shit on UK police
all,
so much.
All the pictures of dudes that are like, kind of like how American police will pose when they bust like a semi truck full of drugs and they, you know, pile it up into a pyramid and they pose with it. Like, look at all the drugs we got off the street. UK police are doing it with like some dude's fucking knife collection and there's like fucking kitchen knives and shit in it and they're posing. Look at all the knives we got off the street. It's fucking wild.
King
it's
like country.
It's like chef's blades. They have to register chef's blades or some shit like that. Yeah. So like if you're working over there as a chef, you have to like go through some licensing process to have chef's blades.
Mm-hmm. When the fuck did this start?
I honestly don't know how.
This is my $200 tax stamp.
How are they ever in charge of anything?
I just want to cut celery. Like, what the fuck,
that,
man?
Is that blade over 10 inches?
Yeah. You got a license for that.
Yeah, you got a license for that.
Can't be putting beans on toast with that blade.
Oh, we saw Christian Craighead yesterday, speaking of.
Yeah.
Our beautiful boy. Yeah, Zach and I went and toured the Staccato facility. Their new facility is amazing.
Incredible.
And my God, the craftsmanship that goes into that stuff is cool. But yeah, Christian Craighead, Obi-Wan Nairobi himself was there. It was really cool.
I haven't got to meet him yet. I want to meet him.
He doesn't want to meet him.
I'm gonna ask him. I'm gonna see if he can be the first person that's still alive that I do a video on.
That's weird.
I already talked to him.
I know. But okay. I want
to. You can ask him too.
He's such a dude too. Like he's slowly like becoming American. Because he's got his visa and he lives in Texas now. And he's like, USA, USA, USA.
He walked up to us and he's like, hey, Zach, hey, Cody. And then he turns to Heather and he's like, hello, darling. And like touched his heart. And I was like, dude, please save some pussy for me. Like, goddamn, dude.
Dude, anytime he loves Sav. And he's like, hello, Sav. It's good to see you. This is his cleavage out. So he's like, fuck me, dude.
The British like, better not be coming.
Like, this is my distraction. This is how I'll beat you, Craighead. So I'm like, titties, surprise titties.
That's such a gentleman.
Dude. No, he's such a good dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we were fucking, I love our tangents. We were like, Zach, you joined the military.
Yeah.
Here's your bad experience. Camo?
Yeah.
Fucking Christian Craig.
Yeah, sorry.
Just like anyways. No, it's fine. That's fine.
I've watched.
Yeah. Finally. No. You were getting into it? Finally. Jesus fucking Christ. No, this is great. I really love this, and I love all of you, as everyone knows.
We love you, too.
So I can't believe I'm here. This is so great. But, yeah, I was in Marja. It's like a big fucking deal. Like, people talk about it. There's a video from my company, Gunny. Gives a speech. He's like, John Glenn, first Marine to orbit Earth in space. And, like, everyone's like, oh, that's so fucking cool. They weren't there. I was there. It was my company. And then, like, an hour later, we did the largest Gila-borne assault since Vietnam. And it was fucking insane.
Wait, what Gila did you come in on?
53s is what we had. The CH-53s, the Sea Stallions.
The ones that fall out of the sky all the fucking time.
You know what? Transformers 1, the one you see in the middle of the desert. Like
the ones with the...
No, those are the Ospreys. That's a 40... No, Ospreys scared the shit out of me. They barely fly.
I've done Blackhawks and little birds.
It's just a big bird.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the ones that look like the face?
It looks like a hind.
It looks like a hind.
Yeah, it's fucking huge. Huge, slow-moving...
Colonel, what's a Russian gunship doing here?
Go. Yeah, no, it's basically that. Like, we flew in, we dropped in, and, like, every day we were just out there moving and shooting. It was a fucking infantryman's, like, wet dream. Like, literally operating out of, like, we'd go take over a place, we'd clear out the village, and then we'd, like, set up a patrol base, which is code for knocking holes in walls.
24-hour OP.
24-hour, yeah, but we would just stay there. We would just make patrol bases and then just fucking shoot, move, and communicate. It was awesome until it wasn't. So
that's how combat is.
Yeah. It was a lot.
it sounds so dope. Until it's not. What?
How do you feel about the Marines getting rid of tanks? And
we couldn't use them.
Yeah, over there. Yeah,
no, we didn't. They would erode.
No, I mean, not over there. I mean, like, because now, like, the Marine Corps just doesn't have tanks. Period.
I think,
like, they're kind of changing, like, how the Marines have. They're gearing up for a different type of warfare than what GWAT was for the last 20 years.
It's weird. It seems like they have a plan in place. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I'm not saying they have a plan in place. I feel like I've seen some people really upset that the Marines are losing tanks, but on the other side, it kind of makes sense because like the whole Marine shtick is like, we're ready to be whatever you need us to be at a moment's notice. And tanks are awfully inconvenient to fucking move around quickly.
Yes.
Well, it's I guarantee Zach can speak to this. You won't have, you're dismounted a majority of the time, even especially in urban environments. Bro, we always considered the Striker a coffin. We're like, nope, get me the fuck out of that coffin. I don't want to, it can be on the main MSRs. We're dismounting, we're walking through, we're doing everything. Hey, we got a mission. How far is it? Fucking 1.2 miles. I'm like, walking that bitch. And I would remember leading routes. I would get so nervous when I had to lead a route. First off, because you're in front, chances are you're going to be the one shot.
Yeah.
But also, I'd just be like, okay. And I would just count out in my head how many roads I had to pass and then take a left and straight and then take another left in my head. And then everyone would be like, Chris, are you sure we're on the right way? I was like, yes.
Yeah,
you're getting
my autism's just like, yes.
So many viewers have PTSD right now from what you just said.
You said MSR, and my arm got a little tight. I was like, damn, I hadn't heard this language in a minute, dude.
I'd just be like, well,
you were a point man?
What? Yes.
Oh, yeah, fuck yes, dude. That's what I'm talking about. Wedge, squad, column. Let's get out there.
Like, fuck.
Dude, hey, man. No.
Hey, but yeah, you don't use vehicles a majority of the fucking time.
No, we had like MRAPs and stuff, and there were like Humvees on like my first tour, but we just never saw him. Afghanistan, where we were, was so far. Like, we went out so far one time, we came across this guy on my first tour, this dude who had like maybe four fingers on one hand, and he yelled at us. He yelled at us and he goes, I'm not fucking scared of you, white boy. I was killing Russians before you were born. And I was like, good to go, sir. Like, it was a fucking local. Mujahideen is what he was, dude. Jesus. And like, we were like, all right, dude, we're good.
I was killing Russians before you were born. It's cold as fuck.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously he went a little too heavy with the ammonium nitrate once or twice, but he had my respect. And I was like, good to go. We'll see you around.
Do you watch Rambo 3?
Yeah.
God.
But he was just like out on the outskirts. And like, it's just crazy because it's like, when the Russians left, they literally left stuff in place. Like, there was this one field we came across where there was a battalion of tanks just left, of vehicles. I don't know exactly what they were, but they were, like, literally just left there. And, like, over the years, they've been eroded by, like, some guy having, like, a plasma torch or coming across. And so you would see, like, sickle and hammer doors or, like, weird metal, like, put all over the place that they had taken from all the stuff that was just left there.
This is beer bong. Yeah. That is a tank.
This is ours now, dude. It's ours now.
So weird.
It's weird. And they're... I don't know. It's hard to even think about, but yeah. So the tanks question is one. They would erode the roads in Afghanistan because they were so small. I think the Marine Corps does better when it doesn't have all that stuff because they're supposed to be like a pioneering force. Like that's the whole idea is they go out and drop
shock
in
troops.
Shock troops, yeah. And the Army comes in and backfills and holds and sustains because the size and scale. The Army, like at its peak, was 1 million or something, and then the Marine Corps was like 250.
Yep.
So, and I actually have a tank story from when I was in the barracks of 1-6 at that time, we had like we were like this, and tanks was across the way. And like every now and then, we would scream out, fuck tanks. Like we would just literally scream out, fuck tanks at this whole barracks of tanks dudes. And one night, we all got into the biggest fucking brawl in the middle of the quad. Just dudes being like, oh yeah, fuck 1-6. And then like doors start opening up. And then, like, we all met in the center at the smoke pit, like, where the smoke pit was, and just, it was a fucking ordeal, just us banging each other.
Our Marine...
Just an orgy, banging each other?
Well, no, fighting, sorry. Sorry, that was later. Sorry, we were fighting.
We're
choking it up. Well, no, sorry.
Our Marine tankers, like, ridiculously fucking enormous, too. I don't know what it is about, like, the Army. Army tankers are the biggest fucking people per capita I've ever seen in my life. It's like a clown car. Just the biggest humans ever getting out of a fucking Abrams.
Oh, my God.
It's ridiculous. They're huge.
I never thought about that. Shoddy, one of our buddies, he's one of the most,
they're huge.
Farmer boy, just farmer.
Corn fed.
Yes, corn fed that just can just bench 315 and rep it out.
Like naturally, without lifting.
Just nothing. And he's just walking around like this. It's super nice, but you get out of the tank. Like you say.
Dude, the tankers are huge.
They were huge.
Like they're not like Jack. They're just like big fucking humans. You're like, Jesus fucking Christ. Holy shit. It's like a clown car every time.
They open the tank. Like the entire top part.
Army tankers. It's like.
Yeah, they were burly. They were burly. They were all like fullback size. Like they were like they weren't made for tanks.
It looks like it's
manned
by Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, basically.
It's ridiculous.
Like, why don't we just put armor on them?
It would have worked better. It would have worked better.
I just picture Big T's walking around with his armor. Shitty Iron Man's. Like, we don't want to spend much money. Give him just a Glock. He'll be fine.
Dude, I watched that movie in Afghanistan when it came out. So we were there. We were at a British base. It's called like New Delhi. And Prince Harry was there. That's what everyone said. They're like, oh, you know, that's Prince Harry. That's what they said. I don't know. They all look the same. They're not American. You know what I mean? Yeah,
that's true.
And we like all went and we got in queue, which I didn't know what that was for the longest. I'm like, get in queue. And I was like, what do you mean, dude? And he's like, get in queue. And we got in queue, which is line. We went in the chow hall and they put in a TV that was like this big. And some like Russian dude had cam filmed Iron Man. And apparently Prince Harry came in there and we were all like, it was the greatest movie ever, but it was really surreal watching it in Afghanistan being like, fuck, dude, I don't know how to build a robot suit. Like, we're fucked if we get captured. Like, that's Tony Stark. He barely made it, man. I'm not making it. Fuck, I better
not get captured. Hard cut. You wake up, it's like, okay.
I'm just
melt some crayons.
I'm looking at like water bottles being like, okay. Like,
I'm still
they're
mad.
Just full of urine.
Yeah. Like,
there's one bottle.
Dude, I can pee in any bottle. You find me a bottle, I can pee in it to this day. Running, walking, anything. It's the weirdest talent. It didn't help me get
a
job.
Why do you pee in bottles walking? You just turn around and walk backwards while you pee.
I'm just saying I could do it. It's called tradecraft, Nick.
Oh, all right. I mean,
you know, you never know.
Walk and pee backwards. That's what I always did on ruck marches.
Your poor friends. Just you turning around, just hosing them down.
I was so far behind.
You were in the front.
I was at the end.
You were in the front. Nick's in the front.
Yeah. He's just leading the formation.
Just, yeah. I was just leaving evidence.
Just calling cadence. Left, right, left. Yeah.
Do we follow this? Start zigzagging.
Believe it or not, I was actually fucking in shape once and good at ruck marching.
I fucking hated that.
I love that.
Brother, you're speaking my language.
I love it.
I would get behind some dude who's like 7'2 on a good day and then his strides like this, and I'm just like, why am I not up front? Like, I should be up front, and he's in the front. It's a nightmare.
And that's the dude of habits. Again, fuck you. He was like, it's not that hard. 6'6".
Yeah.
And he's like, one. And I'm like, 8 strides. Yeah. Like, jogging strides. He's like, why are you exhausted? I'm like, and I was a buck 40 at this point in my life.
Like, I was running, motherfucker.
Yes. Life fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Eli, wake up.
Huh?
I know that the Ghost Bed pillow is super comfortable and has cooling technology, but we're shooting an ad right now.
You mean this Ghost Bed pillow?
That one.
Cooling technology?
Cooling technology. It's hot in Texas, but that's cool. Eli, I know you're cooler than the backside of a pillow, but with Ghost Bed, you don't have to turn the pillow over. It has cooling technology.
Every mattress has a 20-year warranty.
Some even have 25.
And you can try it out for 101 nights.
If you don't like it, you can send it back. No hard feelings.
No hard feelings.
I have hard feelings for Ghost Bed.
I have a hard feeling for you.
I'm really hard. The pillows have cooling technology.
And so do the mattresses.
The mattresses do too!
Hey, Cody, did you know Ghost Bed also offers bundles?
Bundles?
You get everything you need.
Just choose from your 4 mattresses and pick your bundle.
So whether you need a mattress and a frame, or you just want to choose it all,
like their cooling pillows and sheets,
you can get the best bang for your buck.
Right now, Ghost Bed is offering 50% off everything if you use the code unsubscribe. Click the link in the description or go to ghostbed.com/unsubscribe.
That's right, ghostbed.com/unsubscribe and get 50% off right now.
Going back to OPs, so when you do your OPs,
yeah.
I've told the story to you, Santanos, I want to say. So we did, it wasn't, Santanos came to us afterwards, he was part of ACO. Bico and everyone did a huge push through Mokhtadiyya. And this is like fucking weeks of fighting.
Yeah.
And then every day's a firefight, blah, blah, blah. So they clear out the bad part in Mokhtadiyya. I'm not part of this. Santos falls asleep. You know the story. So he falls asleep. My buddy falls asleep. They're clearing, so we're doing a break. So it's like, hey, we just did a big push. Okay, now we're going to the next market, and then we're going to do another big push. So he's like, okay, hey, fucking everyone nap up, sleep, get some sleep. Santos fall asleep. So naturally, what his buddies did were like, he's asleep. Okay, his gun. Take his gun.
Brother.
Yeah, you told
no,
me.
No, brother. Take his gun. Okay, we got his gun. There we go. Okay.
Feel secondary trauma.
Everyone dress up as fucking Middle Eastern dudes. And this is in a war zone. God. So, okay.
He starts saying his general orders.
Two turps go up front. So now everyone's in fucking balaclavas, nope. Covered up, nothing showing. And then he's getting, by the turp, getting kicked. Speaking fucking whatever over there is Arabic to him, kicking his feet. And they have AKs, because we gave the turps AKs. Jesus. And they're like telling the git, they're like, what the fuck? So he wakes up, he's like, gun's gone. Fucking heart's like, they're yelling in Arabic at him. He has no fucking idea what's going on. He does not think he's going to be a fucking on Live Leak.
Yeah.
Doing a viral video. Yeah.
Don't you let me get my head cut off on the internet.
And then he's like freaking out. He gets up to like fight, and then they take off. And like, dude, he's like, fuck you all. I thought I just got captured and you all left me. He just thought he got left.
He almost got bird dog.
That's like,
dude.
He might have PTSD. No, for a joke.
Every night he goes to sleep and he's like, it's fine. I'm safe. I'm fine. Like, no fucking way. I'm not risking it.
Not again.
Not again. Caught me once.
You ever seen Body of Lies with Leonardo DiCaprio and Russell Crowe? Where like they keep telling each other, make sure I don't get my fucking head cut off on the internet. That's what he was thinking, yeah. Man. He's like, oh God, oh God.
I was like, man, that is so fucked. Because I would have been absolutely. That like waking up to that when you've just been in like harsh combat. Oh, buddy. And
damn,
you think
dude.
Your team just left you? You're just like,
oh God, oh God.
Oh no. Uh oh. Fuck my life.
I thought it was a lighthearted, like, we put his rifle behind the shitter story. Like,
yeah.
No. Something like,
that's right. That's right.
We hit his gun. Hee hee. Like,
now everyone dressed up as terrorists.
We started screaming at him in Arabic, kicking him. That's so great.
Welcome to the U.S. military.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Welcome.
You can't have thin skin, dude.
No, you
it's
can't.
It's a war zone.
Well, it's a war zone. You never know what you're going to see. And there's so many different things that happen, from like weird trauma to like, all right, I'm going to tell a story that I promise to only tell here and on Joe Rogan. And it's about my friend Matthew Gorskevich on his 21st birthday. If I could tell the story.
This is going to be good.
Okay, so we're in a town called Garms, Afghanistan. We're in the...
Wait, you've never told this before?
Not publicly, no. Hang on, wait. Yes. I love you, Christy. Please turn this off right now. Please. You already know what I'm going to say, and I love you. But
veteran with the sign divorced.
No, I mean... Here we go. So... Children too. So here's the thing. We're on our first tour, and like, you're on what's called post. And for anyone who doesn't know, it just means you're looking out of a hole and you're like trying to stay awake. So we're in a town called Garms where no one ever been there in a long time. And like, we had done, so you do like the initial insert and you like see some, you clear and then you seize and you hold and build. That was the technique we used in Afghanistan at that time. And so we're like there, and I'm talking to Matthew Gorskevich. It's his birthday. And he's like, I'm turning 21. And I was 20. And I was like, this is fucking cool. We're like talking about like dumb shit that we're gonna do when we get home. Is there anything I can't say?
No.
Okay.
Here we go. G-Bank got this.
Okay.
Well, let me,
do you have a lime? No, do you have a lime one?
A lime one,
and
please.
A bush. I want both.
No,
yeah.
I have.
Dude, no. Hey, get a Bud Light for Shane Gillis. Get a Bud Light for Shane. Shane's one of the boys.
Shane is a boy.
Is he coming on?
Dude, there's so
I
much.
I want to talk history with that guy.
Dude, I bet you, if we were to lock you two in a room, it would be an infinity symbol.
It'd be the worst
like,
fucking
just you
history.
Being like,
yeah.
He's like talking about, well, Napoleon did the French
podcast
wars,
ever.
But,
Stonewall Jackson was fucking autistic. Communism sucks. Yeah, no, it'd be great.
Bouncing.
But so we're on post and we're like tired as hell and we can't really do anything but like talk to stay awake. You're like saying like dumb, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go do this. You're just saying whatever. And we were watching this main road, and we put pamphlets out. We talked to the locals. We told everyone, like, hey, don't fucking walk down this road. Whatever you do, don't walk down this road. There's ID. People are moving ID materials up and down this main thoroughfare. If you're on this road at night, it's bad for you, right? Cool. Sitting there watching, and he's like, oh, dude, look at that. And two guys come out, two bros and a donkey.
Military-aged males.
Military-aged males. Excuse me. Thank you. Two military age males and a donkey
bros.
Start moving down
Definition
the thoroughfare.
Of bros. Yeah,
it's not that unusual. It's like 130 during day in the shade, so they'd move around a lot at night. You hear
fucking
goats and
despise
shit.
Despise the weather.
Yeah, it's fucking nightmare. It melted a watch I had, actually, like one of those fucking Garmins that would like give you like dope and shit. And
it gets to 104. People don't believe this. On rooftops, if it's like
It will get to like 142 on concrete. Yeah. It's like 148.
It melted my watch. My watch that could go deep to the bottom of the ocean.
Whoever doesn't believe that's never been on a rooftop in July.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
And then put that on hell because that's where, like, Iraq's like the sun. And,
yeah. Right. And then the ground's exploding. And then there's bullets everywhere. It's a bad fucking place, dude. Yeah.
Not heaven.
Yeah, not heaven. No.
No, it's not.
But we're like talking and so we see these two guys come out and we're like, oh, fuck yeah, dude. They're on the road? Fucking get down, right? He's got a gun. I got a gun. We're waiting. So we call up to the COG, the corporal of the guard, and go, hey, COG, COG is post one. Two military-age males and a donkey right here out in front of us. Roger, what are they doing? And I'm like, oh, they're just kind of standing there in the middle of the road. Roger, I'm coming in. Fuck it. He comes over, and he puts his head through the thing, and he looks, and he goes, Roger, yeah, two military-age males. They start doing anything, you fucking let me know. And by this, so we're living in the same area where we have fucking Marines living because it's a small building. And people are like kind of moving around a little bit. And they're like, what is it? And like, that's two fucking guys. So he's on a 240. I'm on a 240. Like, we're going to saw these dudes in half if something happens. And they just stop moving. And so now more and more people are waking up, the whole platoon. There's like squad leaders, team leaders, and all these people are like, what the fuck? You know, they're like looking out the hole and it's just like, all right, cool. What are we doing? And then all of a sudden they just stop, like dead center in front of us. And he's like, if they fucking like pull out any materials, you just fucking drop them. Cool. Roger that. And they stop. And then the one guy looks around and he walks to the front of the donkey. And the other guy looks around. He walks to the rear, the hindquarters. And everyone's like, what's going on? I was like, they're just standing there. One's the front, one's the back. And the first guy takes his shirt and he puts it in his mouth like this, and then he just starts fucking the donkey in front of us.
So what happens if they pull out a dick?
He just starts fucking the donkey in front of us. And so all of us, all you can hear in this room is, holy shit! And so he is just plowing this animal. I'm so sorry, show. He is just plowing this, just slamming. And his friend, his bro, his obviously really good friend, has it. You would probably do it. You'd probably be really good at this. Has him in like a choke. Yeah. And he's just like holding the donkey right there. Has it like,
he has the donkey in an arm bar.
The donkey's just like, and he's just slamming it. And it's so, he's like rubbing it. It's the weirdest part. He's like trying to caress it. Like it's going to like smooth it over. Be like, it's okay. And he's slamming the ass of the ass. He's slamming ass and slamming ass. And then like, everyone's like, we're waking up the lieutenant. And he's like, what the fuck's going on? And we're like, they're fucking donkeys, sir. And he's like, no, they're not. And he like pokes his head and goes, holy shit, I gotta tell someone this. So we report up that there's a guy fucking a donkey, and he's like, "What do I do? You can't just shoot a donkey that's being fucked by a guy that'd be coming donkey everywhere. Nobody would believe you." And so he's just slamming this animal, and like, and then he stops, and it just comes to an end. And like, thank God, thank you, Lord Jesus. And then
whenever you write this,
and then he looks at his friend, and they fucking swap. And so his friend takes the donkey because they're good friends. And then his friends start fucking it. And I'm like, sir, please let us kill this fucking donkey. It doesn't deserve this life.
It's
the worst moment ever. And Gorskavich looks at me and he goes, this is the worst birthday of my life.
Telling me the entire time I've known you, I need to come on the podcast and tell the donkey story. And if I would have known that you were just going to ruin Shrek for me, I wouldn't have come.
Dude, they did. They both did.
They came.
Jesus Christ. Imagine.
Donkey!
Like, I was just like, there's no way we're teaching these guys how to vote. Like, their favorite activity. Like, if it was us, we'd all be fucking a donkey. Like, it was so bad.
Democracy's not going to work.
We're like, how do you guys feel about elected officials? I don't know. Do I get to fuck a donkey? No, stop fucking donkeys. And then they left. That's the weirdest part. Is like they came out, they fucked a donkey in front of us, and then they left. I think they established dominance. So I think they own us on some level.
I just picture the donkey. Oh. It's like a movie scene. You have the sniper rifle and the zombies, or the donkey just looks. It's like, you see the eyes, it's like, end me. It's like, please,
God,
do this.
Bro, I just want to know how they determined who was first. You know, were they like rock, paper, scissoring over there that day? Just like, all right, who's going to get old girl first?
I just love
going in the house. That's what they did before. It's like,
Yeah.
Best
listen,
2 out of 3.
before we go fuck the donkey in front of the Americans, we should settle this first. 1, 2, 3.
who's going to fucking put it in a chokehold yeah. first?
It was the weirdest. And I was just like, man, this is too much. Like, please just let the ground explode again. Please let them shoot at us again. Anything but this. Dear Lord, please.
Hard cut to the donkey in a yeah. shower. Sitting there in cold water. Running out.
Sitting there. Yeah, like, yeah. Crying.
Yeah. I always like to imagine.
Eddie Murphy voice.
It's something in the wind. Yeah.
Poor donkey.
Like,
I can't listen to Smash Mouth anymore. I can't watch Shrek with my kids. Thanks,
I
Dick.
Told you it was a good story.
Jesus
you ever heard a story like that? You going to talk about that on Fat Electrician, the Fat Files? Today on the Fat Files, we're talking about the donkey sodomy that happened in Afghanistan. You going to do that one? Yeah.
Today we're going to talk about. Today we're going to talk about.
I'm preoccupied. I'm talking about the Fury movie and chickens.
Boom!
The year's 2024. Do you know what that means? A new look for you.
Manscaped has the 5.0 Lawnmower Ultra.
That's right, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is a man's cheat code to looking good, feeling good, and have all the confidence. Whether you're looking to maintain a trim or make sure everything's gone, this has you covered. Trusted by 10 million men worldwide. I actually use this. I endorse this. I use all their products. Equipped with 2 skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little bit off the top, and a new foil blade to take everything off comfortably. And for the dudes out there that want a full grooming experience, look no further than Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0. In that grooming kit, you get the trusted lawnmower, Manscaped's ears and nose hair trimmers, and essential aftercare products with the Crop Soother Ball Aftershave Lotion and Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant. Head over to manscaped.com and use code UNSUB and get yourself 20% off and free shipping. Oh, I love free shipping. Make your balls and your spouse happy.
Can you talk about the Fury movie at all? When's it? Oh, okay.
It comes out tomorrow, so this will be way after.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
What do you want to know?
I can.
So
this guy is a fight.
The Fury
hard ass.
The Fury
hard
movie is
ass.
The Fury this movie is like semi based off of a real person. The final battle scene is actually based off of Audie Murphy, which is the most decorated soldier in World War II. But the rest of the story is based off of a guy named Lafayette Green Poole. He was a twin. He had a twin brother. Him and his brother, right after high school, tried to join the military in 1937. And they both tried to join the Navy. He got kicked out, or he got rejected because his eyesight was bad. And then a couple years later, the draft got instituted. And I think September 16th, 1940, as we were getting ready to go to war. And he goes in and he's like, well, the Navy knows that I have shitty eyesight, so I'm going to go try to join the Army. He joins the Army. He fucking cheats the eye exam and gets in. He becomes a tanker.
Wait, rewind. The story, you had me dying when you explained his eyesight. That? This story of the eyesight is fucking amazing.
Which one?
When he's just like,
oh, no, that was Lost in Red Ramage. That was my last video.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what it is, but every fucking war hero I cover was initially rejected for having shitty eyesight. So there was this dude, Lost in Red Ramage, the first submarine commander ever to win the Medal of Honor. He was rejected for having shitty eyesight.
And that's a whole video series for you. The bad eyesight of heroes,
dude,
or
and
something
then,
like that.
Hell yeah.
So Lost in Red Ramage, rejected for eyesight. You're not allowed to work in a submarine because your eyes are bad.
Because
you're in a fucking submarine.
Yeah,
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, you need to see far in a submarine.
Yeah. So, like, he was rejected, and then he had Augustus Willis Ching was his nickname, Lee. Dude was
an
Asian American, okay. And he was, his eyesight was bad. This is a video I'm going to do in the future. His eyesight was bad because when he was a kid, he was in, like, seventh grade, and he was chewing tobacco, right? And the teacher got mad at him. This is, like, 1920. The teacher got mad at him, took his fucking chewing tobacco and threw it in the wood furnace in the corner because that's how they heated the fucking school at this point in time. And he's like, cool, do it again, bitch. Showed up the next day and filled his fucking chewing tobacco pouch full of fucking black powder.
Hell yeah.
And he was like sitting there chewing. And the teacher confiscated it and threw it in the wood burner and fucking blew the entire thing up. And he was so close, it ended up like burning his corneas and causing eye damage. So he had really bad eyesight for the rest of his life. But he was, his dad was a doctor and he was like really gifted at shooting guns, but he had glasses, so it was fine. Yeah. He ended up going to the fucking Olympics, winning, I think, 8 or 9 gold fucking medals for sharpshooting in the Olympics. And then he goes to join the Navy. They're like, your eyesight's too bad. He's like, the motherfucker's got 8 gold medals for sharpshooting. And you're not going to let him join the fucking Navy? So he joins the Navy. He ends up being literally the greatest battleship commander the world has ever seen. He ends up being the only... So he was
Dude, he was fucking slayed.
He was the commander of the USS Washington, which was the last battleship to sink another battleship in battleship-on-battleship warfare. It was fucking dope. He sunk the Japanese Kirishima in World War II. So that was a huge deal. Anyways.
Eyesight thing. A quick synopsis of it is like homeboy accidentally went through. This is the same guy with the bad eyesight. Goes under, is in formation with everyone. He's like, yo, they don't know I'm here. I'm a fuck shit. So he's just like walking. He just blended in with everyone and just started fucking everyone up with it. Everyone, and then they couldn't shoot because they had tankers.
You're talking about Ramage?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ramage, he was a submarine in World War II, and he was initially, basically he had went out, he was at Pearl Harbor when it happened, and he was like a radio technician and a sonar technician at Pearl Harbor. So like he was fucking there, and he volunteered to go out in a submarine, and they went out, they sunk a sub, and then they decided to give him his own sub, the USS Trout. They went out. They ended up sinking. I think they sunk like 3 ships over 3. They call them war patrols, like 3 big missions.
So Pearl Harbor was his like hero arc. He's just like, they want to do this.
Dude was fucking ready. So he goes out like wanting revenge. And at this point, the plan with submarines was basically like send them out, go sink enemy ships. Period. Like your lone wolf operation. Completely. He ends up sinking 3 ships. Damn. And. But he shoots way more torpedoes at ships than he sinks. But the Mark 14 torpedo was like notoriously shitty. So like he had actually shot the Kirishima, which Willis Ching Lee sinks later. He had shot it with 5 fucking torpedoes and all 5 of them were duds. No, that's God. How shitty the Mark 14 torpedo was.
But the politicians
were like, oh, the torpedoes are fine. You just have bad aim. He's like, no, I watched them fucking hit it. They just don't blow up, which is like well supported now. But at the time they're like, no, you just have shitty aim. Shut up.
Military. So,
he ends up getting, he does like 3 war tours, and after 3 war tours in a sub, you were basically kicked out of that sub because they were worried that you'd become too conservative or too reckless at that point. So he got kicked out, and then he got sent all the way over to Maine, where he got to like oversee the construction of his new submarine, the USS Parchee, and then he sailed it all the way from Maine to Pearl Harbor, and then he went out on a mission again. And by this point in time, it's like 1943, 1944, and they had adopted a different type of warfare where you're not just going out lone wolf style, you're going out with like 3 other subs in a wolf pack. So they were going out in this wolf pack, and
they
encounter this huge convoy. The other members, one member of his wolf pack ditched out because they had damaged their submarine somehow. The first wolf pack guy like pops up, dumps his torpedoes. I think they had 6 in the front, 4 in the back, 10 torpedoes, right? Like shoots all 6 torpedoes, does a U-turn, fires the 4. He bounces. Ramage is fucking pissed. So he fucking goes in.
This dude's by himself.
He like, because the first dude had shot his torpedoes, they end up abandoning and all the security forces on this Japanese patrol like fan out looking for subs. And he does this evasive maneuver where he basically does a 270 degree turn and he fucking pops up and he's in the middle of this Japanese fucking convoy of boats. And he's like in the cargo ships and all the military ships. He's like in the middle of the cargo ships that are being protected by the military ships. And he's like, fuck, what do we do? It's nighttime. The Japanese don't fucking have radar yet. They have no idea he's there. He's standing up on the deck of the submarine like,
target rich environment.
Fire at that one. And he fires and they fucking miss. And everybody's just like. And one of his guys is like, bro, they got aircraft carriers over there. So he's like, okay. So they like penetrate. There's like 30 fucking ships in this cargo formation. So they penetrate deeper into this formation, trying to sink these aircraft carriers. They get up to them. They're not aircraft carriers. They're tankers. Right. But that's still a huge objective. Mm-hmm. Like big ship.
Yeah.
Japan is already struggling with oil. It's a big deal to take out an oil tanker. So they're like, all right, we're going to take these fuckers out. So he fucking fires like a bunch of torpedoes at one oil tanker. and then turns, does a U-turn, fires a bunch more. And at this point in time, like once you fire your torpedoes, like that's it. Like you submerge and you leave because you can't just reload mid-combat. They're 20 feet long and they're 3,000 fucking pounds. Like there's cranes and winches and dudes getting hernias involved with reloading these fucking things. They're like, nah, we're staying on top of the water. Reload the tubes. And he's just fucking dodging gunfire and shit as his crew's trying to reload the tubes.
Cody, imagine you get that call. This is you're a private and they're like, hey, get one to the front. You're like,
no, sir.
What? Yeah, no, sir. Why? And then you're just like this, like you and your buddies are like, fuck, don't drop it. You're not fucking drop it, bro. And this is a tight area. So you're just like red lights. It's shitty. And you're just trying to get it in the fucking hole.
What does the sir want to do? What the fuck is happening, man?
Yeah. It's backwards. We got to go back. Turn it around.
We're in the center. Does he know we're in the center? We're so fucked. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he ends up firing like 19 fucking torpedoes at one time. Reloading multiple. First submarine commander to ever reload torpedoes in mid-combat and fucking keep fighting. Sinks 5 Japanese ships, takes no fucking damage, submerges and gets away. He ends up getting the Medal of Honor. It's pretty dope story.
Dude, I want to fuck this. Cut this. Let's go to a fucking recruiter right now. You don't need a GED. You don't need anything. Dude, let's go to the Navy. Let's get some subs dude.
The gang goes SF. Oh, we're doing it again.
The gang got turned away for age.
Bro. Oh, man.
I'm not going to lie. I've been waiting for the military to get a hold of me for a PSYOP contract, but that hasn't happened yet.
Fingers crossed.
I'm hoping for it.
Dude, that story goes so hard. Oh, but with the eyesight, he just memorized.
Oh, yeah. So he goes in, he fails the eyesight exam, and then they're like, you fail. And he's like, all right. So he comes back the next day, and he had memorized the chart, but it was the same optometrist. And the dude's like, I remember you from yesterday. So he goes up and changes the board, and Ramage is like, fuck. And he's like, all right, cover one eye. He covers his bad eye first, and he's like, he reads all the fucking shit, and he's like, all right. Cover your other eye, and Ramage goes, and rereads all the shit. He fucking gets away with it. And so he ends up joining the Navy, becoming one of the best submarine commanders ever.
It's such a dope, like that one. I remember texting you at like 2 a.m. I was like, bro, I just watched that video. It's so fucking boring.
But yeah, no, then the Fury movie, it's same thing. Dude got fucking rejected. So his brother joined the Navy. He ended up going to college. And then after that, he ends up joining the Army. He cheats on the eye exam right out of the fucking gate to get in. And then, so this is the funny part. So I haven't, because this video is not out yet, so nobody knows this. Dude ends up training for like 3 years from 1940 through like 43. He's training in a tank. He trains in Pennsylvania. He trains in Louisiana. He trains in the Mojave Desert in California. And he assembles like this badass crew. Gets shipped off to England. He's training in England, getting ready for D-Day because he's going to go in right after D-Day in a fucking tank. And fucking while he's in England in 1944, like early 1944, like January, February, Joe Louis, the world heavyweight boxing champion. Yes, the boxer. One of the all-time greatest. One of the
pound for pound, everything. Like a amazing fucking monster. Boxer. And also joined the military.
Right. So he was there doing a fucking tour, going around every day, going to a new unit, boxing an army guy just like for morale shit. Right?
Beating the shit. That's what I'm saying. Come on.
He's being cool.
Are you guys unhappy?
So Lafayette Poole.
I just saw a German guy fuck a donkey. I don't want to get beat up.
Lafayette Poole, War Daddy, had been boxing his whole life at this point. He was fucking 40-0 in boxing.
Hell yeah.
And Jesus. He got put in to go up against Joe Louis, and he's like, previously to this, while he was in the Mojave Desert in California, he had won the California State Golden Gloves Championship and had the chance to go to Chicago for the national title. But he's like, nah, I got to stay with my fucking dudes. We're going to war, whatever. So he turned it down. He goes to England like 6 months later. Now he's got a chance to box the world heavyweight champion. So he's like, fucking, here's my shot, right? Lafayette Poole goes in. Joe Louis being completely cool. He's boxing a new dude every night. This is a glorified sparring match to him. He's not trying to hurt nobody. He's being cool as shit. Yeah,
he's a little dog and pony.
Yeah. He's just doing. Lafayette Poole goes in and fuck just throws a haymaker and connects. It staggers him.
Oh my God.
Joe Louis locks up with him, and leans in, is like, I'm going to teach you a lesson, and then beats the fucking shit out of Lafayette Poole for the rest of the match. But he doesn't get knocked out. So everybody's like, Huge win. Yeah, huge knocked out by Joe Louis. That's incredible.
His face looks like a pumpkin. And he's like, we won.
Joe Louis got like a 95% knockout rate, and he didn't get knocked out. Huge win, right?
So, damn.
And then literally 2 months later, he's on the beaches of Normandy, 2 weeks after D-Day, and goes into World War II. He's in combat for 81 days. He goes from Normandy, drives all the way through France, through Belgium, up to the Siegfried Line. And in 81 days, this dude fucking is credited with taking out over 1,000 German infantry soldiers, 12 tanks, 200 some odd armored vehicles, capturing over 200 POWs all in one tank. Jesus. Complete fucking animal. And then at the Siegfried line, his loader, so John Berthal from the movie Fury, his loader, Jailbird.
Yeah,
his brother was a tanker, and his brother had died in combat. So because of that, he had been sent all the way to the rear for like an eye exam, which was bullshit. The command did it just to get him out of combat because he was the last son in that family, and they didn't want anything to happen to him because like they were 2 weeks away from getting sent back to America because they were the best tank crew America had, and they were going to send them back to be heroes and sell war bonds. And so they sent that guy to the rear, and they sent Lafayette Pool had been spearheading all of France, all of Belgium. He was the first fucking tank in, and they finally set him to the rear. And that night, a German tank unit snuck past the line and ambushed them, and they were the first fucking tank they hit. And the fucking first round this Panther tank fired fucked up. Their tank was called In the Mood. It wasn't called Fury. It was nicknamed In the Mood was the name of their tank. So it's a
porn
up.
Title. That's why they named the movie that.
It was great. No, it was from the song. But yeah, anyways.
Dude, you're a fucking wealth of information.
No, go.
What song?
In the Mood.
In the Mood?
Yeah.
It's just like.
You know the song, In the Mood. I'd play it for you, but it's copyrighted.
I don't know it.
You do. You would know it as soon as I played it for you. In the Mood. I don't know anyways.
I'm in the mood with my gal.
So the dude that replaced Jailbird
ends up 40s music.
Cool, like orders fire. They return fire on this German Panther tank, and then he orders fire again. But this new guy that they just got fucking fumbles, ends up jamming the gun, and then
the
Panther tank gets a second shot off on him and fucking fucks up the tank. Poole gets ejected from the tank, and his leg is just fucking shredded by shrapnel. And he lands, he has you know what a morphine serrette is? It's like a single serving morphine dose they had in World War II. He fucking injects himself the morphine serrette and tries to cut what's left of his leg off with a pocket knife.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and the other American tanks start hitting this Panther. They knock the Panther out. Poole is fucking trying to cut his leg off with a pocket knife, yelling to get back to his tank. And another a tank crew commander runs over to him, hits him with another morphine serrette, and then calls the medics, and Poole's trying to get back to his tank. The medics come, hit him with a third morphine serrette, and he passes out. He ends up fucking waking up in a hospital in Texas, and dude spent 22 months in the hospital. It didn't get out till 1946. It was wild.
Damn.
God. Yeah. Damn. Dude, those wars were so, like, that level of combat, I cannot envision in my head, because Zach knows you were the your unit lost like we, I was like holy
10,
shit you,
10
like,
guys yeah I yeah. think 10 12 guys I would have to look at it
and that's crazy like
it's crazy
for
yeah
that's reference that, yeah. Zach like having 10 guys to 12 it's insane for a battalion right
yeah battalion
to lose that because it is a very rare thing
I'll look at it
for battalions to lose that many guys when Zach said that
it was
like
a different era of warfare though
oh I know
like. I think,
and that's why you're losing entire battalions.
Poole's unit. One, so two, when they first landed in France, they had what was called hedgerow warfare. Ten. So the German crop fields, or the not German, the French crop fields were basically separated by what they called hedgerows. It was basically like bushes and trees and shit separating the different fields of who owned what.
That's what's in Afghanistan,
right?
Literally,
yeah. So they were going through that, and in. They were in theater for 6 days before they went on their first mission. They cut through. They went through like the first couple of fields, and they got ambushed by a German anti-tank unit with a German 88 anti-tank guns and Panzerfaust, which is the early version of an RPG. It means armor puncher or tank puncher.
Panzerfaust. It was the one with the giant shield, right?
No, it just looked like a big fucking. Two? It looks like a fat man. Fuck. It looks like an RPG. It's like an antique RPG, basically, and.
I know what you're talking about.
They walked right into this fucking ambush, and Poole's battalion, lost 25% of 177 dudes and 18 M4 Sherman tanks in like 8 minutes.
It was war is so different.
It's fucking gnarly.
Because 10 is like 10.
10's a lot. 10's a lot. We lost, I mean, like, so what happens in Afghanistan in particular is...
Stays in Afghanistan.
Yeah, well, it's the graveyard of all empires. It's a graveyard of all empires. But 70% of the world's opium comes from there.
Yep.
And so they would harvest it. And so what I would do when we would walk through a field is I would squeeze the poppy plants to see how close they were to being harvested. So, like, if they're, like, hard, they haven't, like, bloomed yet, so you got, like, 2 months. And then if they started to get, like, swollen, kind of like an orange, you got, like, another month. And then if they start having scratches on the side of them, you're going to start having problems because they've already taken the opiates out of it. But it was the spring offensive, and all that dope would go out, and all that cash would come in. And it was rough. I mean, we had the ANA there. They were worthless. They would, like, walk off all the time. That was a big thing they did. No, there was one time, I think the time's up on it. I did commandeer a Toyota Hilux once. That was pretty cool. I'd use that to drive down the road and pop some rounds out of a Dushka.
I'm not allowed to own one because of chickens.
It's incredible.
I own one. I don't know why you don't have one.
I can tell you. I didn't know Toyota was a big sponsor of the war, but they are. They might need to look into that.
They're really upset about it, actually. No, they're really mad about it.
I mean, they're
why are these terrorists using our vehicles?
I'm telling you, dude. Like, my Bolo list was, like, be on the lookout for it. It'd be, like, Toyota Corolla, white. Toyota Corolla, red. Toyota Corolla, brown. And then every color of a Hilux that was available.
Hilux.
Yeah.
The Hilux. Hilux.
Dude, it was.
Hilux.
You can do it. I'm not doing it.
Not here.
I'll have a real unsubscribe situation if I do that.
You know, I'll start floating there, dude.
Yeah. No.
I own an 81 Toyota Hilux.
Yeah. Every time I look at it, my hands start to sweat and I just go, where are the Taliban? Start asking where they are, but no, it was a gnarly time. I got to do a lot of different stuff there. I mean, we even took so many casualties that they had to reorganize our whole company, and I ended up becoming a squad leader because of it. So I finished out my last tour the last 3 months roughly as a squad leader. So
what rank did you leave at?
Corporal E4, and then I got in the IRR and five.
E4 Mafia.
E4
Mafia.
E4 Mafia. But then,
dude, it's God, like losing again. I want to stress
nightmare.
This.
Yeah.
Like 10 people is, you don't realize when a battalion or anything like that loses that many individuals and how much that is. Cause a lot of units are like, oh, we lost one or two. And then like we had 16, you had 10. See, the second you said 10, I was like, holy fuck, yeah. You probably had a bunch of Purple Hearts. Cause it is, if you're losing dudes, you are losing usually. It's not like, one or two. It goes from like one or two to like 10 to 30 guys just. Good. It is a huge difference on your combat zone and where you're going. So when you hear that, and I guessed, I was like, you probably had like 40, 50 Purple Hearts. He's like, yeah, 50.
Oh, yeah. We put them out there. Yeah, there's a few of them. And like the thing was, it wasn't because of like incompetence or anything like that. It was just a lot of war is like a number of game of it's a game of numbers. So like the more patrols you do, the higher chance you are that you're going to, you know, get hurt, get injured. And then just like increase. We were doing two patrols a day. Like it was fucking gnarly. And like we were out there and like just making it up as it went. I remember like it was so fucking weird. They sent us these girls. They were called lionesses. They're called like female engagement teams now, but we called them lionesses.
Wait, you had what?
They were for like if you came across like women or children, and so according to like their culture, so we wouldn't touch them or
get them
like literally tossed out and stoned by their community. So they got attached to us. And so like we took them out. It didn't go well. They only went out with me once. They got really scared and like, I don't know, they just didn't know what they were doing.
Did they shoot somebody in an apartment?
No, that wasn't mine, thank God.
Jesus Christ.
Did they mag dump three times?
Yeah. Well, like they I was told, my CEO was like, hey Zach, gotta take these girls out. And I was like, I don't wanna do that. It's fucking dangerous. I don't know anything about them. I'd never seen them before, and I'm not gonna take them on a fucking patrol on God's most austere environment. And he goes, I'm the fucking company commander. And I go, good to go, sir. I will take them out.
Hoorah.
Yeah. Hoorah. We say hoorah.
Yeah. Hoorah, big tar.
Yeah, you're a sir. So I took him out. And they're like, this one speaks Pashto. Don't worry, she'll translate for you. And I'm like, cool. I go to this elder. I've known him for a while. I come in there. You know, I peel off a few, you know, Ben Franklin's for him. He's like, yeah, Talib, they're over there, bro. They don't like you. And he would tell me, give me information.
Mister, they're
You got Mr. Yeah, we go Talib.
That
whoa.
Is right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. So I go up there and I'm trying to talk to him and I'm like, hey, send me so and so up here. Send me whatever, Lance Corporal Jones, whatever her name was. And I get up there and like he starts talking and I've got enough like lingo where he's like, blah, 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 over there in that village. I'm like, all right, cool. And then she looks at him, looks at me, and she goes, I don't know what he's saying. And I go, what do you mean you don't know what he's saying? She goes, oh, that's a weird dialect. And I go, it's not a weird dialect. That's all I fucking speak around here. This is Pashto. She goes, I don't know that language. And I go, what do you mean you don't know Pashto? She goes, you see, Corporal, I only know the language of the Navi. And I was like, what the?
I'm sorry, is that?
What the fuck did you just say? She goes, Corporal, I only know the language from the movie After. I go, no, I know where the fuck it's from.
Fucking bro, I like, swear to God, I was like, I'm going to sound retarded and I'm going to get meme, but is that the people from Avatar?
She goes, yes. I go, didn't you go to language?
You speak blue people?
I go, didn't you go to language school? She goes, yes, Corporal, for 3 years. And I go, and all you picked up was the language the guy who made Titanic made up? She goes, yes, Corporal. I go, get in the back of the fucking patrol right now. And like, they sent her back after that. And like the rest of the day, I had to talk to like four people in my chain of command. They're like, Bell, what did she tell you? Well, you see, sir, she told me she only knows the language of Avatar. And he goes, the fucking blue people? And like, I was like, yeah.
And I'm going to stop.
So I'm not an idiot.
That was what she told me. Hold like, on. We were covered in sweat. We had just been shot at for an hour and she's like, I don't know what he's talking about.
I know. Yeah. A lot of you right now is like, he's making that story up. This is wartime military. If you think they gave a fuck on what they were cycling in, hey, no, dude. I've told many stories of the people that got let into the infantry with me. That is 100%.
Dude, I was so mad. I was like, I can't leave her here. But like, all she's going to do is be like, you know, my name's Jake. I'm a Marine from like.
She was a spook?
No, she was part of this female engagement team. And she allegedly, the other two girls were actually pretty cool. But her thing was that she was the language person. So they sent her to the military language school for 3 fucking years.
So
she
was an Afghani national?
No, she was an American.
Oh.
We had dumped like hundreds of thousands of dollars into teaching her Pashto, but on her off time, she was just like learning language that was probably on Reddit version 1 in 2009, being like, ah, whatever the fuck it is.
Tax dollars well spent.
They needed females to interact with the...
With the women and the
with
kids.
With the local yeah. females, because men aren't allowed to touch
if
women.
You, yeah, if you touch them, they'll get fucking ostracized, taken out of their culture.
So, right, yeah.
They'll get fucking stoned to death. And if
side note, I will give a shout out to the females that had to, because you had females and males at
yeah.
the only thing that I would never do, which was checkpoint security, and I'm glad I was on missions all the time, because yeah. that was the only time I was like, that is... you are either having a V-bid pull-up or you're a sniper target. Because you are sitting there, Cody.
Standing like, still. Yeah.
You are sitting there letting vehicles in, checking the vehicle, letting them pass.
Yeah.
Out in sector.
Yeah, so every time you're like, is this my day? Is this my day? Is this yeah. my day?
Holy shit.
There's a story of the two guys who...
I got one.
Yeah.
Holy shit, I forgot about this. I want to say this was Wojnowski. Alphabet, I think this was you. We were doing a sector clear. Alphabet went to a vehicle lock. We were just going through each sector. It's like, oh, there's a bad guy house. Well, so he fucking opens the trunk. It's locked. We're like, fucking get it. He's like, arrest the guy. He won't open it. Fucking get trunk won't open. We're like, what the fuck? So he just shotgun clears it, opens it. V-bid.
Shit.
It's just 200 pounds of explosives. He's like, ha! Oh, what the fuck? It's just
run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back up.
Oh. Oh. Oh my God. Yeah. We have so many stories like that. Literally, it's like trunk open.
Yeah. Someone called dude. Jeremy Renner.
It's like
someone
called Jeremy and Renner. Then you close it. We're good. We'll just mark it on the FBCB too. We'll walk away.
Speaking of Jeremy Renner,
mm-hmm.
Well, you don't like...
I have a friend.
You don't like Hawkeye?
I have a friend. He's actually a really popular influencer. I can't say who he is because he'd be fucking furious at me because nobody knows he was even in the military. But Mr. I have a friend that was...
Brandon.
No.
You said in the military.
I have a friend that was...
Obviously fucking Brandon.
Yeah. I have obviously a friend Brandon. That was Marine EOD.
Brandon.
In 2003.
Brandon's like, shut the fuck up.
I probably know who it is.
No, you don't.
I bet I do.
I bet you don't.
General Mattis?
No.
Fuck, that's all I got.
Anyways.
Jesse Puller?
He was Marine EOD in 2003, and this is when, like, EOD was not a refined science yet.
No, it's not.
And... He talked about, you know, the shit. I asked him about Hurt Locker. He said it was one of the most realistic movies he's ever seen in his life, which Hurt Locker is pretty renowned as being one of the most unrealistic veteran movies ever. And facts. He's like, no, for an EOD guy, that's exactly how we got. He's like, we were allowed to do whatever the fuck we wanted.
Not in my time. Maybe back when Eli was there and the M16 was 15. But in my time, we had a little more refined rules. Like
leaving that you can't leave the gate with one vehicle.
Yeah, he left. He like leaves at one point. And he's like, "Fuck it, I'm taking a local and like take someone hostage." And he's like, "I take bombs out of the fucking ground.
You can't leave.
You can't do that. We had to have eight people. Yeah,
you had to have vehicles. You had like how many vehicles are in this convoy?
Because
you cannot, you have to check out when you're leaving a fob, unless you're in a cob, and he wasn't in a cob, he was in a fucking fob. So when you're like, hey, you drive up, if you pull up in a Humvee with fucking one of your bros, and be like, eh, they'd be like, get the fuck back.
Yeah.
You'd have just turned around and ran back, because again, and then all the dumb shit, when they pull up, and there's just abandoned Humvees in that movie. Because they just pull up and they're like, the Humvees are abandoned. And then they walk around the corner and the soldiers are there. I'm like, you don't abandon vehicles.
Ever. There's just too much. There's too much technology as a serialized gear. I mean, like, the only thing all my EOD friends told me about that movie that made the least amount of sense to them is, like, putting on the bomb suit. They're like, dude, it only protects you up to, like, 5 pounds of, like, regular dynamite or something. He's like, fuck that. He's like, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die. ROD techs were fucking gnarly in Afghanistan. They were crazy bros. And so the way it works is one guy looks for the bomb and then one guy like sweeps around it. And like this one, I can't remember his name. Let's just say his name's Sergeant Smith. He's like, you want to see how this is done? And I was like, fuck yeah, I want to see how it's done. He takes out his knife and we have an idea where it is. And he just starts fucking digging while his like A team leader guy is just sweeping around him because they're looking for a trigger, a charge, and then trigger, charge, and then a power source. If you find one, you can find all three. And there was no science other than him with the fucking K-bar just, like, scooping it up and then just cutting wires. And I was I'm pouring sweat, and he's just talking to me. He's like, yeah, you just look for it, and if you hit it, whoops, there it is. And, like, he just kept going. It was insane.
Have you seen the Filipino EOD guys that are still, like, unearthing landmines from World War II?
Yeah, fuck that.
Jesus, those dudes are out there with a fucking, the fucking shovel.
Yeah.
Just fucking swinging at the ground. And like, he's like, dude, they're like hitting a landmine from World War II. Just grab it, throw it over their shoulder like it's no big fucking deal. It's crazy.
God, how much are they getting paid, you know?
Not enough. I'm sure.
Sandwiches. Sure. Sandwiches.
Anyways, this guy, he basically said that he had, like, he got blown the fuck up. He's got one lung. Anyways, but he.
Jesus.
Yeah, he got blown the fuck up bad. But he was there in like 2003, like super early on. And he was at a fucking bar on his, like, on leave, and whoever was manufacturing all the fucking bombs in his area met him at a bar and knew his name and knew who he was. He's like, it's the scariest moment I've ever had in my fucking life. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Where was the bar, like, overseas?
Yeah, no, it was, like, in theater, but it was, like, in a city that was, like, safe.
Green zone type shit.
The green zones were fucking huge over there too.
And he's like, he just like came up to him at the bar and was like, hey, and like said his full name. And he's like, what the fuck? And he's like, literally just like,
I know
who you are basically. And he's like, it was one of the weirdest fucking things that ever happened to me. But he's like, they had a conversation. It was like some dude that was a fucking, not a chemist, but like an engineer that had been like trained out of college. And like now he was building IEDs. And
it was like,
the craziest conversation he's ever had in his life. Like, holy fuck.
What do you call broken beer bottles when you stab someone with them?
Weapons of opportunity?
Yeah. Weapons of opportunity. Yeah.
I was on LinkedIn one day, and now I'm here. And it's good to meet you.
So, Battle Bakaba, that was our last fight in the deployment. Enemies killed 382. This is just my battalion. 382 enemies killed, 100 detained. And that is the last few months of my deployment.
Detained.
Jesus Christ.
Whoa. I was like, wait, what is this?
And I love you, but I didn't realize that battles that you were in had their own Wikipedia pages.
Oh, dude, Mine does. I was like, whoa. Because we, in Iraq and in
what year is
corners,
this?
This is the surge.
Jesus.
Yeah, of 708. This is
you
like
guys didn't even have up armored Humvees. You were just like rolling out aluminum foil out the window.
Well, I'm sorry. Hold on.
You're just like, it doesn't work.
Remember what I said earlier when I said, hey, there's always a major economic crisis before a big war? You remember when I said that?
Yeah.
You know what happened right before World War II?
What?
The Great Depression.
Mm.
Yeah, what was that surge you did? What year was that?
2007. That was right before.
Oh, really? What happened? What happened in 2008? Oh,
when
America?
I got out of the military, the economic collapse.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway,
so literally the day.
Like I was saying,
I got out,
you mean the housing crisis?
If you wake up and the stock market crashed, we're going to war again. I'm just throwing it out
get
there.
Get those shares back.
Yeah. What's The Big Short? If you guys haven't seen
such
it,
such a good movie.
But yeah, I forgot about all, like, I never, like, wars that we tell them every once in a while, but it is always to that level. I always forget. I'm like, wait, what is the battle of, like, Mokhtar? Like, all those areas, I'm like, oh, yeah, we did war. Like, Four Corners, war. And Mokhtar was probably the lighter compared to Baghdad because we lost a majority of our dudes in Baghdad. That was a firefight every day. And I forgot because I always say, I'm like, did we have a firefight? I called my buddy Ennis, like, last week. I haven't talked to him in years. And he's like, man, we were getting shot at. It was like, we did a firefight once a day for like at least 90 days on that break-in period.
Yeah.
That was our break-in period. This is war. I was like, huh. Oh, yeah, that was right. Yeah.
That's pretty fucking cool. Yeah.
Just fucking
dope. Because of all of you guys, like, that's one of the final pushes that, like, made me want to enlist was because that was such a weird time in the world, like 2006, 2007 era, because I was getting ready to enlist, but all that shit was going straight to Live Leak. Like, it's like, what's the war like? Dude, Live Leak enlisted more people than the fucking War Bonds tours in the 40s. It used to be like, Ramadi. And you would, like, pull it up, Baghdad. You'd be like, guys with, like, bad taste in music would, like, upload videos and be like, don't, don't, don't.
These guys gonna die. Don't, don't, don't.
Yeah, here's killing in the name of. And it's just me like this, putting in a dip, being like, hell yeah, dude. Yeah. I fucking turn on Toby Keith and I'm just fucking working out in my garage
Metallica
like a psycho.
Murder.
Yeah, dude.
In high school. Yeah. Trying to pass. Trying to get that diploma. Holy I'm shit. Ready for this.
Dude, Live Leak was like the best website ever. It was literally, and then it took, I don't even know if it's still around anymore, but
Cody has a story for that one.
No, they shut it down. The guy said, I think the founder of Live Leak came out and was like, I'm sorry I ever made this website. It was something along
those
lines.
But now we
have
Twitter, so we're fine.
Yeah. Twitter's fine. Twitter's fine.
AKA Chinese people getting fucked up in machines.
I lost track of the running total of seeing people die on the internet between X and Instagram, but it's been a while. Every single day.
It might have been better when it was on websites like Live Leak. Like, you knew where it was. It was kind of like a door if you opened it. You knew what was going to happen, but now you're just like, I wonder what Cody's doing on Twitter today. Dude, and then it's just like death.
The worst one I've ever seen is it's gone now, but there used to be a subreddit called r how it feels to chew 5 gum, and it was just people getting fucking murked. It was bad.
Jesus Christ, that's a great name for it.
Because it was every time anybody uploaded anything, it was like, dude getting literally blown into nothing. How it feels to chew 5 gum from the fucking commercials. It was horrible.
Dude, I think r/ people dying is still around.
Oh.
And it's like the Chinese factory incidents where you see the Live Leak corner or the Live Leak logo in the corner coming down. You're like, no. Just getting spun around machines and shit like that.
There's one that's r real combat footage. That's one that still exists. I don't know if it's good to have these things. I kind of liked it there, but it heavily influenced me seeing like guys like Eli, like literally like on rooftops, just like winging it with like deuce gear. And they're like running around shooting RPGs and grenades. It was fucking gnarly.
Yeah. I think the leading people for that now is like the Funker guys, Funker 530.
Funker 530 is so fucking cool.
They got their own app.
Yeah. It's so good. I love all that stuff. They're always bodying people in the comments. It's pretty epic actually.
Go to X.
A lot of that U-word country going into that now.
Dude, X is wild on the content that gets fed to. Well, mine. I'm like, cool. I'm like, there's bully. Cody's bullying. I love it. Fucking okay.
I get a lot of Fight Haven stuff. I get the Fight Haven guy, the fucking creepy.org. Cody just bodying people.
I know.
Brandon bodying people.
I know. I have like my friends. I'm like, yep. Okay, there's somebody dying. Yep, somebody dying. And I follow, I'm very bad. I still need to learn X. I've said it before. I have like 37. I'm following 37 people because I'm just bad. But still, my algorithm is nothing but my friend bullying people and death.
I really need to figure out X out.
Yeah, we all need to learn.
I'm scared.
We need to learn from the master.
I don't have the temperament to handle being on that app because I'm going to see.
You bully your fucking high schools or your college.
I bully. Bro.
The people you're in college with.
I spent the last 48 hours of my life fucking just raging communism simps because Donald Trump had that fucking comment about how like, oh, Russia beat the Nazis. And now it's weird because like Donald Trump, right. But like communist sympathizers left. And now all the communist sympathizers are like, yes, Russia beat the Nazis by themselves. And I'm just shitting on all of them. And it's, I can't handle being on X. I'm going to get canceled if I go on there and have to argue with these fucking people.
What is it? As you're saying, it is this quick history lesson. You're going to see. Yes, Russia threw a fuck ton of bodies and helped stop the war machine that was Nazi Germany.
Yes, but if your claim to fame is we had the most people die, that's a really shitty stat. I'm sorry. Like,
that's been done.
Imagine
yet.
If yeah. I was in the NBA finals and LeBron dunked on me the most amount of times, and I was like, I deserve to be MVP because I gave up the most points.
No.
That's fucking God. Stupid.
No. Did you know about the NBA? That's impressive.
It's more like League of Legends or Call of Duty, like Warzone. It is you and your three buddies are at the top, and that fourth person on that team has a KD of 0.006. Wow. He's died 80 times. Bro. Got one kill. He's like, then, this is my fucking
you
war.
You get all these fucking dudes to simp over. Oh, you... Did you know the USSR actually manufactured more tanks in America during World War II?
Did they?
Did they really?
You're scared.
Really interesting. That's cool. Yeah. Who did America send to the Soviet Union in, I don't know, like fucking 1929 and started their entire industrial revolution when he founded the Stalingrad tractor factory?
Who?
Oh, it was Albert Kahn, a.k.a. the architect of fucking Detroit. Literally, America started your entire manufacturing capability. And you're going to sit here and try to flex on me like that's a fucking big W for communism. How much fucking money did America give to the Soviet Union in the early years of World War II? Like, what, $11 billion? You're like, oh, that's not a lot.
Today?
That's not a lot of money. It's like fucking $246 billion-ish dollars. What's Russia's military budget right now?
I don't
$86
know.
Billion?
I
oh,
know.
You gave them 3 times the annual military fucking budget, and you're going to come to me and be like, oh, communism's the fucking best. Yeah, when it's funded by fucking capitalism, sure it is. Yeah. Why the fuck wouldn't it be?
Hell yeah.
Okay, the same reason you hear everybody like, no, did you know that fucking Cuba has the best healthcare system in the fucking world? And the only reason that Cuba isn't a communist fucking paradise is because America put an embargo on them and refused to do business on them. Yeah, maybe, but explain to me in logical fucking reasoning why it is that a communist fucking utopia can't exist because capitalism isn't going to work with them. It can't exist on its own. They need capitalists to fucking work with them for them to fucking survive, okay? At the end of the day, I've never seen a fucking capitalist trying to build a fucking raft out of shitty, broken fucking tires to swim across shark-infested water to make their way to Florida to fucking escape, okay? Get over it. Communism Dude. Fucking sucks. You're never going to convince me otherwise. You're fucking wrong. If you think that the USSR single-handedly beat the Nazis in World War II, you're fucking wrong. Objectively speaking, I can't fucking help you. Okay? Did they help? Absolutely. I'm happy to admit that they contributed to beating the Nazis. If you think they did it on their own, it's because you're breathing through your mouth and you're objectively fucking retarded. Those are the only fucking reasons that you would think that. Okay? Furthermore, the only reason that World War II even fucking happened is because the Nazis and the USSR had an agreement that they were going to go ahead. They're like, oh, go ahead, invade fucking Poland, and we're gonna have separate spheres of influence, and then we're not gonna fight, and then the Nazis attack the USSR anyways, and then they join the fucking Allies, okay? So the USSR is the reason that World War II even fucking happened. You don't get to claim credit for being the only ones that fucking won, okay? Shut the fuck up. I can't fucking handle it. Like, I got two sons, and people are like, oh, you do jujitsu, you're a big fucking tough manly man.
You are.
What if your kids grew up, what if one of them was gay? I don't care at all. They can be gay all they want. It's not going to bother me at all. But if my child grows up to simp over the USSR or the German military, I'm going to consider myself a fucking failure as a father because my kid's objectively fucking retarded, okay?
Yeah.
That's not acceptable to me.
I fucking hate it.
Dude, going to college with you must be a fucking nightmare.
No, try being like, a fucking professor.
Your teacher's like, this is college algebra. We just asked you to help us with the problem.
So this is Art 101? Bro, that's terrible.
Everyone in your class is like this.
And you guys should see the fucking diatribes that Nick writes and he sends us. arguing with college kids.
Dude, he bullies college. That's your Twitter.
Yeah, you do in-person Twitter. You do Twitter and IRL. Like, oh my God.
Have you, like, what's the last battle you've been in on your college frontier?
It was that, actually. Somebody was like, actually, you know, the Soviet Union manufactured more fucking tanks, and it was me just going off. Like, actually, the only reason they could manufacture tanks is because America sent their best fucking engineers to the USSR to teach them how to manufacture tanks. Furthermore, your tanks are shit. Also, America gave you, like, 4,000 fucking Sherman tanks and 400,000 trucks. Did you know that in 1945, over fucking three-quarters of all the vehicles that the USSR military had were fucking manufactured by America? Go fuck yourself. If you're going to sit here and be like, communism's better because they can manufacture more shit, only because America's funding you, okay? The only reason that you motherfuckers were running proxy wars in Afghanistan in the 80s and 90s were because America taught you how to do it, because we did it to you in World War II. Go fuck yourself. Communism sucks. Jesus Christ.
Just some kid like this just being like, just
fucking. What was the response?
I get it.
What was the response?
That wasn't real communism. Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. Okay. Every problem you have with capitalism, that's not real capitalism. Yeah. Go fuck yourself. Get out of here.
We just haven't done it right yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at you.
One, two, maybe three. Three tops. Three more genocides, and we're going to hammer out this whole communism idea. Okay, look. Communism is fucking stupid. Communism is perfect on paper. Okay, it's the greatest way to live that's ever been devised. The problem with having a perfect work of art is you're trying to apply it to an imperfect canvas, and that is humans. Humans are greedy, arrogant, stupid assholes. Everybody is at some point during the day. It's just a matter of how often you are that person. Everybody's a stupid, arrogant, greedy. This is why fucking roundabouts don't work, right? Roundabouts are basically communism, right? They're the communism of road structures, okay? Are they better on paper? Absolutely. They're way more efficient. Except for Janet is in her fucking minivan trying to hand little Tommy fucking Cheetos while she's trying to take a fucking roundabout at 65 miles an hour, and it doesn't fucking work, okay?
Humans
are dumb, and you have to take it into account when you're trying to build a civilization. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it works.
God, I love you, Nick.
I fucking hate communism. Have I brought this up?
I don't know.
Roundabouts are communism?
Yes.
I love that.
100%.
That's a shirt. And now I get it, because people stop it. Like, you have people that go through. They're like, oh, no one's coming. I'll go. But some people will yield, and they'll just stop.
Just sit there.
Go on. And you are right. It is individual.
It's perfect on paper, but people fuck it up.
Yeah, it's exactly like returning your shopping cart back to the little fucking stall. Mm-hmm. You can't rely on everyone to do that.
No, you cannot.
And it gets that great internet video that one dude that throws.
No,
that.
It throws fucking stickers on people's cars and
make
shit.
It so pissed.
He's still out there, right? Isn't he like doing that?
Doing internet content.
Fighting a good fight?
Dude, he gets so angry.
And then you get fucking Tucker Carlson going to Russia being like, oh, fucking Russian grocery stores are so great. You have to put 10 rubles into the grocery cart, and then that incentivizes you to return the grocery cart back to where it was. Yeah, fucking America does that too. It's called Aldi.
Yeah.
Okay, we invented it in West Germany in 1940 fucking six, right after World War II. Yeah, we do that too. Okay,
I literally wrote a paper on that in business school. It's the most successful grocery store
Aldi's
chain
the shit.
In the world.
Aldi's the greatest grocery store.
I did
on
a
the
case
planet.
Study on it for like a
you
month.
You want to know the number one consumer rated best grocery store in America? It's Aldi. Yep. You want to know the number two store?
HEB.
It's Trader Joe. Guess who owns Trader Joe?
Aldi.
Okay, yep. Because the Aldi brothers were two German soldiers right after World War II.
I want to open the grocery store.
They started their own grocery store. Okay, do you understand the fucking... You understand,
let him cook.
Do you understand how hard it would be open a fucking grocery store in West Germany in 1946?
Yeah.
They're playing on fucking hardcore mode. Okay, they founded a grocery store. It worked great.
New
two
game
brothers. And then in like the 1980s, they're like... I want to have cigarettes. And the other brother's like, I don't want to have cigarettes. And they're like, cool, let's separate. You run half the Aldi's. I'll run the other half of the Aldi's. And then we'll just have two separate businesses, but we'll work together. And that's what they did. And they had Aldi North and Aldi South in Germany, right? Then they came to America. You can't have Aldi and Aldi in America due to trademark. So they're like, fuck it, we'll be Aldi and Trader Joe. And that's fucking what's going on in America right now. They're the greatest grocery store.
They're divided in the middle.
Ever.
They're divided right down the middle.
They just divided it.
It's like, Germany was very divided.
Germany was very, it was like,
was there a wall or something?
There was a wall. Yeah, the Berlin Wall. They had East and West, like capitalism, communism, hungry fed, that whole shtick. But then they had North and West, which was Aldi North, Aldi South, the two brothers. One had cigarettes, one didn't. One became Trader Joe's. The other one's just Aldi. It's the greatest grocery store ever. No big deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's the number one thing that you studied like in business school about a company and like understanding scale. Like, it's literally, like, I studied all the economics of it. Everything he says is right.
That's insane. It's I didn't know there was two brothers who were like, hey, we're going to start both of these.
Well, they started together and then separated because of cigarettes. Yeah.
Brothers, they want the tobacco. We have to give it to them.
Nah, I'm not buying it.
Zach, you have a master's in what?
Master's in business.
Oh, okay.
Debating.
Oh. Yeah.
Who is the individual that, what are the, Tumblr, what are the new?
Yeti.
Stanley. Who's the guy? Is it Stanley Cups? I don't know. That dude. Yeah, right? Stanley Cups? Stanley Cups.
Those are the ones that are hot right now, yeah.
Yeah.
That is the same dude that did...
Crocs.
Crocs.
Yeah.
This dude has two. He made Crocs fucking awesome. And everyone, if you are our age, you remember when Crocs were the dumbest shit possible. So he was like, this one individual became CEO or marketing of
that company. He was the head of product, I think it was, at Crocs. And, like, Croc was actually started by, like, guys on fucking fishing boats. Mm-hmm. Like, crab fishers, because it doesn't slide or whatever. And then someone's like, I can sell the fuck out of these.
So he marketed it, and he crushed it. And then Stanley, they hired him. He's like, I can make that cup popular. This is Stanley Cups are non-existent. Yeah. And this is just like, I got you. And within a fucking year... He turned that company into a multi-billion-dollar company.
Bro, marketing's fascinating.
Are we talking about the burned car situation?
Yeah, they did that too.
Yeah, there's no way that fucking thing survived in a fucking burned car. No, I saw that it survived in the burned car.
I bet it did.
They actually did test.
It's a solid chunk of metal.
It is, so it didn't keep the one thing, but he just, and that was one of the marketing ploys. That is the same
burn cars.
Yeah,
he's been burning customers' cars. They show up and they're just like.
But he took opportunities.
He's over there sweating right now.
She's like, "You better get this right. I love my Stanley Cup."
Car fire.
Her show is huge on the Stanley. That's how we pay her. Is in Stanley Cups. She gets an allotment each month.
Damn, dude. There's a full secondary market on that.
Yeah, we send her 200 a month, and she's good 300.
All right, so Stanley Cups had like the limited edition collaboration with Starbucks, and my wife is like, I want one. I'm like, cool. I'm gonna show up at fucking Target at 8 a.m. I will stiff arm a middle aged woman to get one of these cups for my wife. I showed up. My wife had no idea that I did this. I'm in there just fucking like, Heisman Trophy, fucking stiff arming middle aged women. We get up. I'm front of the line. I was like, where are the Stanley Cups? They're like, I live in the middle of Iowa. It's like the one Target, and it's like a 50-mile radius before the next fucking Target that has these goddamn Stanley Cups. I just fought a bunch of mostly nurses and CNAs to get to this fucking spot in line, right?
Nick's just a monster in there.
Right. He started at the back. There's women in yoga pants.
These poor nurses are in scrubs on their way to work trying to get this fucking cup. I'm like, nah. Anyway, so I get to the front of the line, and they're like, we fucked up. And our new employee accidentally put out all the Starbucks Stanley collaboration cups last week, and they sold out before they were even here. So I didn't get one for my wife. So that was unfortunate. But
I went to 3 Targets, had a very similar situation. Really? Yeah, because it's thing? Dude, if you come home, especially
was
with,
it for your wife too?
It was for my wife and 2 daughters.
God, you guys are way better husbands than me.
Well, no,
I need to step my fucking game up, Savannah. I am so sorry. I didn't.
Dude, if I came home,
I am now in better present than I need to be a better man because watching you guys.
Nah, just play it. They got lead in them. They're getting. Sick. It's because I care. I knew that. I cared about you. Tell her that.
They've already got a bunch of Stanleys, all 3 of them. They're like, my grandfather's rolling over in his grave. Special. Yeah, no, this one's special. My grandfather used to make one every day before going to work construction. Now it's just something my daughters have like color-coded to their outfit. So the whole premise was like, if I show up with 3 of these things, I've got like a good year of getting away with whatever I want. Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, I fucking fought through like a sea of Lululemon and just to get these for you. But like nowhere had them. It's absolutely insane.
It's wild. They were going up on, I think one sold for 15 grand.
I saw one up for
eBay. eBay.
Yeah.
Cody, one dude did crazy. This was one guy. The same dude that did Crocs is the one that took over and did Stanley Cups.
That's fucking marketing. That's right.
Right. Marketing there, is wild.
Yeah.
And you have one dude that just comes and he's like, Bet I can help you all out. Bet I got this.
He put a handle on it. He put a handle on it, and he made and it fit in cup holders.
Influencers.
But he put it in cup. Yeah. It fits in cup holders and cars. He's like looking at it, and he's like,
"Make it pink."
You guys thought about handles? And they're like, "What the fuck? No! What? 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 Hey!
There's
get,
that.
Get Jeff. Have you thought about handles? Make them hand." What about if they fit in a cup holder of your car? Holy shit, it's him! The prophecy's real!
It's the guy flying out the window.
Yeah. And he's just like, that'll be $4 million. And like,
all they did was done. Just approved.
Yeah, they're so big, they literally are a weapon of opportunity. That's what I've been teaching my daughters. Bro. Someone gets too close, you know, boom, boom. Just fucking let them out.
I've been talking so much smack to my wife about the Stanley Cups. I've been with my wife forever. And like, I'm 5 years ahead of whatever trend she's about to hop on. And I talk so much shit about it. Like when we were first together, I was like, Lord of the Rings is the best movie series
it's
ever.
Fucking incredible. And she's like, it's fucking incredible.
That's
dude.
Some nerd shit. She goes to college 3 years later. Her roommate loves Lord of the Rings. Guess what my wife loves? Fucking Lord of the Rings now. Okay. Everything that I've loved my entire life is just 5 years ahead of the fucking trend. Carhartt, been wearing Carhartt since I was in eighth grade.
Dude, it bothers me. You're talking about shit that bothers me right now.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, when I was poor, my father's name, his preferred name was Bubba. Like his father and his father before him. At one point, they called me like Bubba Jr. That was like the nomenclature. It's passed down with my trauma, my pack of Marlboro Reds, and drinking at way too young of an age. But I was being cool. But like everyone I knew that had
I can picture you walking
around.
Bro,
you have no idea.
Bro, we're about to become best friends.
Dude, like, a little doctor smoking a red.
I was 10 years old the first time I had tobacco. Like, I was so fucking cool. I lived in trailers. Like,
We all lived in trailers.
You can play Nerf guns in a trailer. You could be in one bedroom and in the kitchen just fucking sniping a guy off. All this stuff happened. All the stuff that poor whites did. And now it's fucking fashion and it makes me insane. If I see one Bass Pro Shop hat and that motherfucker can't tie a fishing line, I'm going to take it from him. Carhartt, all of it. They're stealing our culture, and we've got to take it back. So
Hating colors before it was cool.
You said that.
I was talking with him, and he's like, man, my dream car is an F1. What was it?
Yeah, McLaren. Oh, my God. This conversation is amazing.
Jesus Christ.
So my dream car, McLaren F1. He's like, I love a McLaren. It's my dream car. It's an Eli dream car.
An ultra car, supercar, ultra car.
Ultra car, mega, super ultra.
A fucking race car. How much do those cost? $37 million. He's like, yeah, that's my dream car. And I'm over here like, fuck.
What was your dream car?
My dream car has been an 87 Monte Carlo since I was 10. I'm like, I am... Fuck, am I white trash? I want an 87 Monte Carlo, or I want like a 2003, 2004 Monte Carlo. The Dale Earnhardt Intimidator Edition. That's what I want. That's where I'm at in my life. It was like, shit, I gotta up my game.
Number three. Making me look bad. Just the number three pulling up at 180 horsepower.
Hell yeah, dude.
Isn't that the Training Day car?
Huh? I think it is. I think that's what he's driving.
A Monte Carlo, yeah. An 86 Monte Carlo, yeah.
Yeah. But I love that car. Did we just become best friends?
Ah, fuck. I want to. I've been trying to find one forever.
Have you seen the Dale Earnhardt Intimidator version? Because it's fucking dope as shit, brother.
Dale Earnhardt Intimidator 2003, 2004 edition. Monte Carlo, Dale Earnhardt Intimidator. That's the fucking trailer park ultra car.
Black, the number three.
It's fucking hot. I was like,
a fucking meth mobile.
I was joking with him. I was like, you guys are all going to buy your dream. You're going to have an F1. You're going to have your fucking badass truck. I'm going to pull up in a fucking Fiero. It's got a motor in the back and a trunk in the front. It's the same fucking thing. Yeah. Fuck it. It's got an Iron Duke with 180 horsepower. horsepower. It's got the same motor as the fucking the mail truck. Fuck it. Sure, it's gonna catch on fire, but it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. It'll buff out.
Best job ever had.
Dude, I remember just being excited growing up. Cars had air conditioning. I remember when my mom had a Thunderbird that my grandfather gifted her and had air conditioning. I thought technology had fucking peaked.
Man, fuck you guys.
There's Brooks and Dunn on the radio and AC blowing out the stuff they don't. What is it? The one that's bad for the environment, allegedly.
Oh, the Freon.
It would come out and it would freeze everything. And I was
dude,
like,
Freon was so cold. It was so awesome. Yeah. Dude, it was like 100 degrees outside and 30 inside. You could get your cube of ice.
R14 on it. Is it R14 or R13? Because it's 134A now.
Just fucking shooting pollution that erodes the ozone layer.
With our lighted gas, it's just spewing lighting. With the wood paneling on the side.
Oh, dude.
If you don't have wood paneling on your station wagon, I was so embarrassed as a child. I would have my parents drop me off a few blocks early and walk to school.
You know how much of those things are fucking worth now? That's all Fred Durst posts on his Instagram is fucking wooden paneled station wagons.
Is Biscuit Fred Durst?
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to know
didn't
why?
See that coming.
It's because of fucking chickens and Lyndon B. Johnson in 19... You boys ever heard of cafe standards?
Are we getting into this?
No, God.
What are cafe standards?
I want to hear it.
Let me tell you a story. You ever notice how trucks are, I don't know, fucking enormous now?
Yep.
Right? Ranch, you want to know why?
Why?
It's because emission standards are like, hey, we gotta save the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Your vehicle is only allowed to emit CO2 and pollution in relation to how like volumetrically large the truck is. And the goal that the government had in mind was like, okay, they're going to make the vehicles more efficient. But what actually happened was the government was like, all right, hear me out. Let's emit the same amount of emission and just make the trucks fucking huge.
Hell yeah.
So that's why all the American trucks are fucking huge now. That's why like the Tacoma is the size. I'm not shitting you. The Tacoma and the Ford Ranger are the same size as a full-size truck in the 1980s, and those are considered a mid-sized to small-sized truck now. And a fucking full-size F-150 right now is like massive. Retarded large compared to a truck in the 1980s. So that's why.
I agree. It is better. Is that what we're saying?
What?
What does that have to do with chickens? I don't understand. Is it because they used to run on chickens?
Let me tell you a fucking story. All right, here's
it's fine. It's fine. Don't yell at me. Don't yell at me. Don't yell at me. Don't yell at me.
Chickens. You ever heard of the chicken tax?
Wait, real quick before the chicken tax. It is...
How many...
The vehicle size, if you look at why American trucks aren't over in Japan and Europe, it is because how fucking massive
the trucks... They don't fit on the roads.
They will take up... You cannot park them.
Like, that's fine. They don't deserve them.
That's why I have to listen to all the...
You don't fucking deserve it.
You don't fucking deserve it, dude.
America doesn't have anywhere near as much public transportation as Europe does. It's like, because Britain's the size of fucking Michigan, and Michigan's like, what, the 38th smallest fucking state? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, who gives a shit? Yeah. Oh, no, I don't sit next to homeless people. God. Oh, no. Like, oh, my God.
What is it? Ukraine's the biggest country in Europe by, like, a lot, and Ukraine is almost as big as Texas. Get the fuck out of here.
Boo.
The UK is six. If you go the longest amount of distance that you can drive in a straight line in the UK, it's 6 hours. From fucking tip to tip, it's 6 hours in a car.
Let him cook.
I can leave right now, drive 6 hours, still be in Texas.
You'd be in Dallas.
Sleep, drive another 6 hours, still be in fucking Texas. Sleep, drive 5 more hours, and I'll just barely be in Oklahoma. Get the fuck out of here.
I agree.
That's why we don't have public transportation.
Well, they also, people for the live show, they were like, oh, it's a live tour and you're in Texas. Yes. Each fucking city is goddamn 6 hours. Yes.
Yeah, I'm flying there.
We are driving. All flying to the same state. Yeah. We're not driving because it's 6 hours, 6 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours.
Show. You're peeing. How insane.
She's sitting.
No, I mean, well, you know.
Goddamn bad.
How ridiculous does it sound if I say that like my commute to my job was an hour and a half in a car going 70 miles an hour
from Ireland
in Europeans' perspective?
Yeah, calculate that in European time.
That's a lot. I would say max an hour.
Yeah,
in Ireland, if someone was like, "Oh man, I just drive like if."
tweak was like, got to go to work. It's an hour and a half away. Would you be like, babe, you need to quit.
Yeah. You're driving to the other side of the country. Yeah.
Got to go to work. 30 minutes. That's max. Yeah. 30 minutes max.
She's saying 30 minutes is max.
First of all, okay, show some respect. Right? If
you're I like her.
If you're going to make fun of her and her accent.
I'm not making fun of her. I think her accent's
shit
awesome.
Off your shirt.
I hate you. Every time it happened. God damn it.
I was waiting for it. I was like, wait. That's why I was like, you switch now. Damn, I fucking, that's the only reason I said switch.
You fucking got me, dude. You fucking got me, dude. I'm so upset right now.
You know what I was on for? I know. 2 hours ago.
All this bullshit about chicken taxes was just to just lead me down the road.
Oh, no, chicken taxes.
Please, God, no. Don't yell at me. I'm not the problem. I'm not the problem. I like veterans. I'm not Brandon. Please, don't yell at me.
In the 1960s, after World War II.
Brandon hates us. Please, we need to unite against him.
America was really good at making cock, right? We had so many chickens. We were so good at making chickens. We were so good at raising chickens that we could raise chickens in America, slaughter them here, ship them across the fucking ocean, and it was still cheaper than Germany and the rest of Europe could make chickens.
Yeah.
So they were eating all this American chicken, right? And then one day, the Europeans were like, this is fucking up our own economy, and our own chicken farmers are going bankrupt.
Yeah.
We're going to tariff the American chicken. 25% tax on American chicken. Basically ruined the American chicken market, right? And this was like that. This was
then we killed a city or two.
This was the pinnacle of American politics. Like 1960s, the chancellor, a.k.a. the president of Germany, was like, bro, I had more conversations with the Kennedys about getting us to buy chicken than I did about the pending nuclear war with the USSR. He literally said that. He's like, you guys were so mad about this. Lyndon B. Johnson gets in office and he's like, we're going to try to settle this normally. And they're like, no. And he's like, fuck it, fine. I'm going to put a tariff on you guys for potato starch, dextrin, and fucking some other food product, and then cargo vehicles. Cargo vehicles is defined as two seats or less and hauls cargo, right? The only reason he did the cargo vehicles was because the president of the UAW, the United Automotive Workers
Union,
was mad that Germany was importing so many Type 2s, which is the love bus. Remember that fucking thing?
It
was a love bus. It was super popular in America.
It's all over San Diego.
Yeah, and the UAW was super mad about it. So they're like, hear me out. We're about to go on strike and cause a major economic fucking problem when you're about to get reelected. Because he became president after JFK was assassinated.
Yeah.
And he's like,
after he had him assassinated?
Or if you can figure out how to quit getting so many German Type 2s imported into America, I'll make sure we don't go on strike. So he did that. In exchange, they tariffed all imports on cargo vehicles, and that's what basically led to the love bus going extinct because we weren't importing them anymore because it was too expensive. Because Germany wasn't buying enough chickens, so we retaliated by taxing cargo vehicles, which extends to pickup trucks, and that's why I can't get a Hilux because it's a 25% tax on fucking anything imported. And it's like still to this day, all the other things we were taxing, fucking potato starch, dextrin, all that shit went away. It's just we're only taxing cargo vehicles, and that's why I can't have a Hilux. I'm really mad about
it. You can buy my Hilux if you want to.
Yeah.
Is it manual
I'll
automatic?
Just give it to you. It's manual.
Yeah.
81 Hilux.
It's fucking hot. I want a new one now.
It's already got a fucking Modus mount on it.
I just want to be able to fucking buy a new Hilux.
Why?
That's all I want.
What are you going to do with it?
Huh?
What are you going to do with it?
Nothing.
I think
I'm from Iowa.
Just to have it.
Well, it all started have you seen the Toyota Champ? It's a flatbed manual.
Oh, no, I have seen. I know somebody.
Four cylinder. It's like 10 grand.
Yeah.
I was like, that's
this guy at my gym that has one.
I have a 4Runner. Like, that's what I like to drive. Like, it's fine. But then, like, I was like, I need a truck to do truck stuff. I also don't want to buy a new F-150 for fucking $85,000. So I just want this flatbed piece of shit for whenever I need to haul a piece of furniture because I don't like calling in favors to other grown ass men because then I owe them a favor and my wife doesn't understand it and it pisses me off.
God, we're so that's why, dude, I get along.
Today. None of us ask each other to move. I think
it's the worst. It's for that reason.
I will never ask my friend to help move because I'm like, I will.
Then
fucking,
I owe him a favor.
I'd rather pay somebody than ask my friend and be like, hey man, you got a pickup truck. Can I inconvenience you for 2 days?
My wife is always like, why don't you just call your friend so-and-so. And it's like, because then I'm going to owe him a favor. And then when I have to repay that favor, you're going to get mad at me and ask why I have to go help him move for a whole fucking weekend. It's because I owe him a favor.
It's kind of your fault when you think about it.
I am to that T too. I won't even call you, the owners, the other co-hosts for this podcast to do ads because I feel like I owe you a favor if I ask you to help do an ad read because I'm like, nah, they're probably busy right.
They don't want to do it.
Fuck. This is my brain set for that entire thing. I'm like, nah, I don't want to
inconvenience them,
bro. I know what my next vlog is going to be about. It's going to be like giving Nick my Hilux just so he'll be happy.
Just funny because I talk smack about you in particular in that video. Goddamn millennials buying all the transit vans, trying to live in them, and then I can't get a work truck.
Well, in the Hilux or the
Toyota. I've shot a few Hilux. What?
Well, the
official truck of warfare,
brother. They blow up real good.
Toyota, let's go places. Sponsored by war, mostly.
But they had. If you haven't seen the video we talked about in the drive, here is the Top Gear episode of watching how durable those fucking. It's the Hilux, right?
Yes,
yes, they're way too durable.
They dump it into the ocean. So I didn't remember how long it was in the ocean. How long?
8 hours.
8 hours in the fucking ocean.
Pure salt water.
Here's a pull away, and then it floated back.
Let the tide bring it in.
They let the tide bring this fucking vehicle back in.
This mechanic fucking blows it out with an air compressor, puts more oil and coolant in it, and gets it started in 15 minutes. It's insane.
That's all you need.
Fuck, we can't kill it. What else can we do?
They jump it through a RV and just nothing.
They drove it through an RV. They drove it through a building. Still started. They're like, fuck. They light it on fire. It still started. They're like, fuck it. Let's put it on top of a 7-story building and then control demolition the building with this truck on top. They dug it out of the rubble, and the motherfucker still started.
Yeah, it had a broken chassis.
It's indestructible.
It cracked the chassis, and it still, they're like, can it move? And he's like, it's broke, and it still drove off the fucking rubble. One.
It's our curse for the portable stars, man.
They're like,
could their battleships get submerged underwater and make it? Absolutely not. After that, they figured out how to make a truck do it, though. Let me tell you.
God, it's imagine incredible. If they just did fucking. That's what we see. Their super carriers and their battleships are just fucking giant Toyota Hiluxes out at the sea.
Oh, fuck.
They're 2,000 feet. No.
That's where we want to get all the fucking people on the internet.
Wait.
The Chinese military is better than America. They're going to win in a war, blah, 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 blah. It's like, I mean,
let them
we're
come.
Probably not going to have to fight. We're just going to have to, like, give Japan, like, all right, fucking go ahead, do it again. No. It's all fun and games until you're going up against the IJN Hilux battleship here, ELU. So
that transforms into a Gundam.
Damn, that's kind of cool.
We're just beaming across China.
The American sailors would be like,
holy shit, it's a Gundam. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't care. That's why I like the 4Runner. It's like 4Runner or Tacoma. Tacoma's made in Mexico. 4Runner made in Japan. I'm buying the 4Runner. It's indestructible. I don't care what you say. That thing's going to run forever.
Dude, I just picture their entire military fleet. It's just the Hilux at the front and the rest is whatever. It's like
don't
a supercar.
It don't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's a tank after the Hilux and the rest. So like, ah, this is what we do now. Stamp the Toyota. We're fucking golden.
Toyota's so good.
So people fuck goats.
Yeah, no, I saw that too, actually. But the main one was the donkey. There was, if you're a hoofed animal in Afghanistan, I'm sorry I didn't kill you. I'm so sorry. I tried my best. You had no good life. I mean, if
it's the worst class to be reincarnated.
If you're a hoofed animal.
Hoofed animal, Afghanistan, bad time.
I always think about like
they're watching this podcast mad.
Yeah. Just like, this sucks.
Just raging right now.
It was rough. Yeah, that was it was good stuff. But yeah. That's what happened. I'll never forget it. It was my friend's birthday. It's a good time.
It's a big takeaway from this podcast. Like, don't be a hoofed animal in Afghanistan.
Don't be a hoofed animal in Afghanistan.
Chickens are preventing good automobiles. But it's fine.
Cody, is it time to close us out and move to the after show?
We'll close us out. Guys, please check out the after show on Patreon.
Ooh.
I am ending the Unsubscribe podcast right now. Like I said earlier, I am joined by Eli Double Tap, Nick Fat Electrician, Veteran with a Sign Zach, and myself, Donut. Thank you so much for joining us. Go to Patreon.
Zach, where can we find you at, you beautiful, sexy mofo?
Veteran with a Sign everywhere. I've also got a YouTube page, which I'm trying to launch, and I have a podcast on there, After Action Podcast. It's really fun. It's hard. I interviewed the cop who took down the school shooter in Nashville, and Christian Craighead is my most recent episode. But yeah,
where is it fun.
It's After Action Podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it can go. So yeah, thank you all. This is fun. This has actually been great.
Yeah.
Where's Brandon?
Brandon.
We miss Brandon. I love Brandon.
Brandon.